There's a show in town, it's going down. Every week we're back on solid ground. Steel toes slipping, but we're gripping. Got the tea to spill, it's always flipping. From April's scrim to Aaron's glee. Oh, this drama's just a spree. Polydrama, legal trauma. Another win, oh, that's the karma. This little piggy went to YouTube. This little piggy's on Rumble now. This little piggy begging for dollars. And this little piggy. From revenge porn to felony, it's a circus, can't you see? The toe is bent, the goal is spent. His empire crumbles, all hell sent. April's playlist on repeat. Aaron's lies we can't defeat. The countdown's on, it won't take long to see this piggy squeal his song. This little piggy went to YouTube. This little piggy's on Rumble. Piggy ain't missing a thing. Just sit back, laugh, and watch the king.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to this little piggy, a steel toe seething show. We're here to cope. We're here to deal with what it's like to not be a fan of a winning show, to be a fan of a smaller show, whether it's me or Chad or whatever that Carl guy's name is. Anyway, they're all here. Carl and Moody are here.
I don't think that's the right meaning of the word all. Like this very clearly
yeah, the Tukey's not here. Look, I don't feel like doing it today. I got tickets to the F1 tonight. So frankly, the roads start closing at 3, which is in an hour and 45 minutes. I got to get downtown. I got to get down to that strip and watch these cars. You ever see cars going vroom? They go vroom.
So okay. I guess your wife wanted to do that. She's dragging you to this.
Jesus Christ. She would never leave the house. She's terrified of the street and the noise that the roads make.
It's a good thing she lives in Vegas.
She's retarded, remember? Anyway, welcome to the This Little Piggy program. Carl from Who Are These Podcasts is here. Moody from We're Still Trying to Find a Place for Him. Really?
I'll get there.
We don't really have a title or a... Will you start a podcast? Could you start some sort of dabble?
I got an idea. No. You should do a show called India Today. It's kind of breaking down the news stories.
Right. And
or the dabbleverse from an Indian perspective.
Yeah, right. Yes.
Right. Yeah, yeah. I get that.
It could be called Come Again with Moody.
Yeah.
Right. Thank you, Come Again.
I think
we're Dabblewood.
As I want to get involved in the dabbleverse. I mean, this is already too far for me. I don't need more of it. On top of this.
Oh, you're too good for us. I see what's going on. All right.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Everyone should be too good for the Dabbleverse. This is a weird corner of the...
Moody's like, I actually have a real job and things to do. I don't need to be talking about you idiots.
I do. Tukey also has a real job. Yeah, that's why he's not here. But like, there are normals around, I guess.
Tukey is currently building bombs that are flying into Russia right now. I don't want to give up his spot, but that's what he's up to.
Yeah, he's building it while it's in the air, like
yes,
on correct. Top of riding it.
Real quick before we get going, a lot of people did this before the show. Krautcat gifting a membership, Dusty gifting a membership, Krautcat gifting a membership, Krautcat gifting a membership, Addicted to Ubiquity gifting a membership, Tiff gifting a membership, Memphis Dabbler gifting a membership. I just want to get those out of the way. Thank you very much for gifting your memberships. James Baumert quickly picking up on the cues that there will not be a live NLO show tonight because I will be busy getting drunk. All you can drink, all you can eat, 6 hours. Oh my god. Right, just roll me home. I'm never gonna be alive. I might get home at 2 a.m and do a show, but that's my business. Thank you for this super sticker as well, and then we'll be caught up before we even start, and that way we won't annoy people with all the stuff. This week, interesting week in our Aaron Imhol. And by the way, we do have a very special guest confirmed coming up later in the show that I think is going to blow people's minds.
They're not going to believe it. They wouldn't believe it if you told them.
You wouldn't believe it if we told you.
They just got to wait and see because
crossover you've been waiting for. Anyway.
Yep.
So that'll be coming up later in the second hour block. It's in my 2 o'clock folder.
Right. Can't open that yet.
Stories. big week started out this week with the most interesting thing was Johnny crying himself off the show for the second time in 6 months.
Not only off the show, he couldn't even do his show hours later. That's how upset he was.
But didn't he?
He did.
Yeah, oh, he did come on.
He did finally
come on. He said he wasn't
on.
Going to. Okay.
Yeah. He did finally come on. But
I got
his
show. I went to talk to a band. Patrick got banned that night too. It's he's inconsolable.
Yeah, how do we feel about, first of all, you know, Aaron's doing these night shows on his own now without Matt. Really the only sounding boards he has in his life, and he actually said as much on Monday, kind of like had this like existential breakdown. He said Monday morning he revealed he wakes up in a panic attack. He has anxiety. Mm-hmm. He's thinking about the history of the show, where it's been, where it's going, how everyone's left him. I mean, it's so weird how every once in a while he opens up like this, and then like literally an hour later, he'll be telling everybody else how they're pathetic and he just sits there and wins.
It happens like once a month. Last month, it was when he was eating that sandwich. He was talking about how depressing his life is. And then a positive Aaron after that. Now it's, I wake up drenched in sweat thinking about the goal.
It's amazing to me because I used to dread, like Sunday nights, I would be filled with depression because I hated my job and I knew tomorrow morning I start another fucking work week and I got to be there 5 days. The next 5 days in a row, I got to go into work and work with all these assholes I can't stand.
Everybody hates Monday.
Yeah. I remember feeling suicidal every Sunday evening. And now I get to do a podcast for a living and I'm happy every fucking day. This guy is literally waking up Monday morning having a panic attack that he has to get up and do a comedy show.
And again, he's structured his life in such a way where everything he stresses about is his own making. No one is making him get, he doesn't work for a radio station. He doesn't have a program director. There's no corporate overhead boss. Why is he making himself go live at 6 a.m.? He's convinced himself there's this contingent of local Minneapolis drivers that all get in their car to go to work and put on steel toe, and they need their steel toe in the morning like they need their coffee.
Well, I don't know if you saw what happened today. He was 15 minutes late.
Has this ever happened before? No, I did not see that.
He slept in.
Whoa.
And he was very apologetic. So what happens is he revealed that he sets his alarm for 5:15 every morning, which, by the way, is retarded. I don't know why anyone wants to get up at 5:15, but whatever. Some people are morning people. I am not one of them. So he gets up at 5:15.
Morning shows get up at like 4 in the morning.
Right.
He just has to walk downstairs.
Walk drive or something like from 6. Yeah. Or
right.
He's late as a morning show.
Like Anthony would come in from Long Island, you know, like he'd have to get up hours early, obviously. But like he chose to do that and wants to do that.
So he said today he set his alarm for 5 a.m. for some reason instead of 5:15. Now, he doesn't remember sleeping through his alarm. He goes, I don't know. I guess I must have looked at it, saw it was 5, figured I had another 15 minutes. And then next thing I know, it was 5:59 that I woke up. So he was so out of it. It's like, why are you doing this to yourself?
Right.
You're that tired at 5 a.m. Why do you make your schedule like this?
And another thing that was really crazy and revealing this week was he started doing that thing again where he's breaking it down into cents.
Oh, yeah, I covered that on WATP today because it was crazy when he went to 50 cents. All of us looking at each other like, well, this is weird, right? And then it gets even nuttier
because there was
40 cents. He got it down to 10. That's like, wow, this is wild. Just fucking round it off. I mean, you're already doing the movie math from gross to net. What's the difference?
Out of one side of his mouth, you'll hear this man say, 50 bucks for our audience is nothing. They'll knock it out. Mm-hmm. And then out of the next day, he'll be like, we need 13.10. And not only is he saying out loud, I need 13.10, he's typing in his chat and pinning it to the top. 13.10, guys.
There was a time 13.10
away from today. I was like, what is happening?
There's a time on Wednesday's show, because he's putting into the chat, and I'm sure it's going to both Rumble and YouTube at the same time, so I'm watching on YouTube. There was a time that the two chats in a row were him updating us with the goal, and it was the same goal. It hadn't changed. That's how often he's hitting the send button.
Right.
on the chat, it's like there was a time when you could see four of his updates all on the same page.
Right.
And they're all the same dollar amount. Like, yeah, we get it. We know. We can give you money. We know.
He's autistic. He's autistic.
Yeah. He double pastes it. So, like, he'll go paste, enter. He's got it written in a different window. Okay. Changes it, copies right. it, and then enters it twice. So, if the chat's not moving.
It's why he's always doing that weird fucking puppet finger thing on the keep, like, all right, cut yeah. and paste, all right. Yeah, yeah, like he's always doing that. But it's literally, brother, can you spare a dime? It's 10 cents. He's counting.
It flip flops. So literally, he's counting cents. But then he says, we only take what we need from an audience. And then he misses a goal by.
Yes. Yeah. I want to talk about that.
It was like $120,
$150 or something. Yeah. And he goes, you know what? We're in a good place. We can miss it.
How do you go from that to immediately on the next show counting cents?
Well, the same way that he says literally our goals are what we need. We don't take one penny more than exactly what we need. Yet he needed to hit every goal to catch up when they were in the red.
Right.
And then once they're caught up in the red, he promises all these like relaxation and goals. But that never manifests ever. And now he can afford to, like, they miss a goal by 150, 120, whatever, like you said, and he can go, we're in a good place. We can afford to miss it. It's like, who believes all of these inconsistencies? Like, well, again, it's like with his gambling game he used to do, his prize night, where he's like, oh, yeah, we're not allowed to give away entries. Well, you get a million entries. It's like, whoa, you got around it.
He said, look, normally 120 would be a lot for us, but the money came in and look, it was more than I thought it would be, and it's suddenly good. So he's like doing this accounting that's like 1 month delayed, so there's time between.
So let's just say what we're saying is he's making way more money than he needs to survive. And he knows that. And so he's setting this goal at a place where, you know, 350 in the morning, 200 in the evening, he's making a very good living hitting those goals. Yeah. So today he comes on his show and he's talking about, you know, he missed goals in the morning and in the evening this week. And he goes, yeah, guys, you won't believe it. Last night, I wasn't even doing a show and all these donations started coming in. And we got down to like 50, even though I missed by 150, we're down to like $15 from the goal with all these donations. So it was actually pretty much a perfect week. He literally said it was pretty much a perfect week. And he goes, and YouTube chat, I know that makes you upset. I know that bothers you.
It makes you seethe.
I know you're seething over there because I just made up fake donations that I received, and now it's perfect again.
I mean, the only way I'd really be seething is if that money was coming out of my wallet.
Like, yes, that'd be pissed.
If it's coming out of my account, that money is not mine. I don't care about.
Was he like homeschooled, or did he go to one of these new wave schools where you like grade your own papers and stuff? Like, what's going on with his psyche? Like, how is he in this space where he gets to make up, and he makes up not only battles, he makes up enemies, he makes up things about his enemies, and then he like has this pity for them over the thing he made up, and then he makes up these battles. This week, one of my favorite things, you know, he's like, well, Melton really stepped in it now. There's all these paragraphs on his Discord. He's fighting with fans. They're all calling him out. They're all turning on him. Yep. Meanwhile, it's one guy. We're like just having a discussion.
But how do you never read any of it? You'd think he'd be like, check out this thing that he said.
He went to the tweet that had the screenshots and didn't pull the screenshots up.
I was pissed because I wanted to clown him. I never got to see it.
How do you never? I really don't understand how he claims so many victories and he never has to show his work. I'm flabbergasted by it.
Another thing that happened today. So, you know, talking about how YouTube is always seething and everyone on YouTube is seething and shit. So this morning, you know, he gets on YouTube for a little bit, then he switches over to Rumble, and he reads the YouTube chat, which he never does, but he did this morning. And he read missing goals and sleeping in. That was the chat, the free chat on YouTube. And his interpretation was, oh, they're seething in the YouTube chat. So that's the definition of seething.
Yeah.
Someone says missing goals and sleeping in equals seething.
I realized what seething is to him. It's anything he watches that makes him feel bad.
Oh, okay.
So anything that hurts Aaron, he writes it off as, oh, they just don't get it.
Let me elaborate on that, because the word projection is overused in the Dabbleverse and on all of our shows. I mean, yeah. I hate
and
it.
So is Cope. Cope, Steve.
But that's what I was going to say. Like, he is literally projecting. Aaron is literally projecting it. It seems like that can't be possible, but he is the one who's coping and seething all the time on a daily basis. You can find examples of him both coping and seething, and he claims everyone else is.
It's this thing where if you go to, like, if a narcissist goes to therapy, they don't actually get better. They become worse because they start to weaponize the things that they learn in therapy and start to just accuse other people. We went through this, I think, on Patrick's show. It's called DARVO, D-A-R-V-O, which is what happens when someone, an abuser, is accused of something. They deny the accusation, they attack the person that accused them, and then they reverse the victim and the offender. So they don't say, I'm not the victim. I'm not the perpetrator here. I'm actually the victim. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's such a, do a quick Google of DARVO and have a read. It absolutely describes how he handles criticism.
Well, like, I think it only works on people in the Midwest around him. He's not particularly bright. Mm-hmm. He's not like, but he is, he's got that, whatever that thing is, that's like the right mix of like charming and disarming in the beginning. Like, you can easily write him off just like Kiki did. Like, oh, he's just like a dorky dad, you know, trying to be hip. But like, he's a manipulative. He thinks about things. He manipulates people. He plans, like, you'll never convince me this whole, like, getting rid of April and setting them up. Like, I don't think he, like, planned to get rid of April by doing this. But, again, like, I think once he saw it happening, he took his hands off the wheel and was like, ooh, watch what this could do. And I think he saw a way out and took it.
Even things that come down to, like, him talking about Caleb being his soulmate, I don't buy that. Like, I think he felt that his partner, his soulmate, was taken away from him. And so he said, look, she was actually my soulmate too. I took her away from you.
Meanwhile, well, and remember, he said he went and met up with Kayla, like, at some point during all that stuff. I think he was. I think there was a last ditch effort to try to take his girl. I think he really did think, like, oh, yeah? Like, watch me take your wife.
It's constant it's flipping around, rubber glue back to you, sort of.
Which thinking. Would be another. Which, by the way, just like SP, would be another woman he doesn't really want, but he just needs someone there. He's a baby with a binky. It's a security blanket. Like, he had her there 2 days before April said she was done. So, like, he cannot. He's one of those. I gotta swing to the next vine before I let go of the last vine. You know, I said before, like, I don't know another guy going through a divorce or just fresh out of a divorce who wouldn't be just, like, tendering it up and hey, like, getting laid here and there, checking it out. Especially, like, he's relationshiped up, joking about marriage. Like, it's nuts. He needs someone next to him.
It's kind of gay. It's gay how much he needs a girl all the time.
I think he genuinely hates women. He doesn't respect women. It talks about them in a really belittling way, but he sees them more as like objects through which you can assign value to him. So it's like, look at how hot April is. Look at how hot Kayla is. Gino, check out this picture. She's actually way hotter than you think she is, right? Like, it's constantly trying to push himself up through the women that are attracted to him.
Showed zero respect for April. When April was the co-host of the show, there was zero respect given. It was basically just like, hey, can you wear something sluttier, please? That was all he cared about.
It's not, again, it's not about her talent or what she can provide to the show. And it's the same way with Matt and Johnny. Johnny literally could never talk during the 4 hours. You wouldn't even barely notice. But like, by having someone in a square there next to him, it validates him. It validates everything that comes out of his mouth. It's how he used Kiki in the beginning. He'd bring her on. She'd be in that square. She wasn't bad-mouthing April, but he slowly began to. And by having her there next to him, it kind of co-signed what he was saying, and it made him look not so crazy. You know, Hitler doesn't look so crazy when he's speaking to millions of people, and they're all into it. You know, it seems like, oh, okay, this guy must know what he's talking about. No, he's a nut. He's a nut who's co-opted people's minds. But like
Time Magazine Man of the Year.
Right. Let's not forget. Right. So like, I think there's that kind of a component to it where he like, he had, like, why does he want a co-host? He complains about money nonstop.
Right.
He keeps losing co-host and money and times are still hard.
Also, the
I'll never understand this. April, Kiki, Gino, Matt, and times are still hard.
Literally, the co-hosts bring nothing. So if you, like right. this show, for example, all of us have topics we want to talk about. All of us have conversation starters. When I do WATP, the guys listen to the same show that I listen to, and they have clips, and I have clips. Like, right. those are co-hosts. That's how you do a show together.
Right.
He just does the runs the entire show, and then if Johnny has something to say, he'll say it, and if not, he'll just sit there. And it's like, that's not a co-host relationship.
That does work, though. If you have, like, a third-seat co-host who's just there to, like
who cracks wise?
Interject,
sure.
Yeah.
Interject, yeah. Or you're making fun of that person. That works for that person to be unprepared. But
because the show doesn't rely on that tent pole.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. They're not all the way to the right on my graph.
Well, it goes to the point. I kind of want to watch this together, the breakdown of Johnny crying, because Aaron doesn't list, it just goes to saying like it could be anybody. There could be, it literally could be like a head on a stick sitting mm-hmm. there. Aaron doesn't listen to his co-host.
Disagrees with you.
right.
No, when his co-host starts talking, that's his opportunity to get caught up on the chat. You see it every time. His eyes start right to the chat. He starts reading.
He zones out. He goes to the chat. He starts reading the chat and he'll go like, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And yeah. So here is here's how this happened. They were talking about Johnny not voting, and watch how this developed. Like, again, I know we've all kind of covered this, but it just goes to show you, like, this man's not paying attention, doesn't need this guy there. So what is it in his brain that makes him think he needs a co-host? I think it goes back to why he starts at 6 a.m. Why radio guys have co-hosts.
Right.
Radio guys start at 6 a.m. And he's a radio guy, Carl. He'll be back on soon. I love it. All right, here we go. Is this going to work?
I would have thought it was good.
Is the sound working?
It's echoing.
There's an echo.
Yeah. Okay, hold on.
Barr says you vote because people died so you could have the right to vote. You vote so they didn't die in vain. Way to go, buddy. Way to shit all over.
Hold on, but now I can't hear it.
Oh, do you need to hear the clip in order to comment on it?
Yeah.
Amateur.
Hold on. Why is everything a thing? okay, hold on. I can't. How's that?
Echoing again.
So they die in vain.
It's echoing?
Yes.
Well, I'll just kill myself. The point is, I wanted to show that he doesn't pay attention to him. Literally, how does his fucking break every week? Something happens every fucking
week. How is it that Kevin Brennan and Stuttering John can play a video clip on their show and Patrick Melton can't figure it out?
Well,
how
I'm using two computers, so there's definitely something off. But like every week I think I haven't figured it out. I write down the steps. Come in and do the steps. It's like, nope. Incorrect. Well, fuck, I have three clips for today.
And I have zero clips for today.
Yeah, no
but
shit.
We've all seen that clip, though. Johnny goes on and on and on, and it gets so far away from not voting. He's not talking anything about not voting. Right. He's talking about everything that has to do with health insurance. Go ahead.
Right. Well, he's talking about being disenfranchised by the system, essentially.
Yes.
So he goes into this the voting conversation somehow leads into, like, his personal medical history about how, like, if he would have had access to the care that he needed in a timely manner, he probably wouldn't be confined to a wheelchair today, which is a big, you know, that's a big allegation, a big statement or whatever. And maybe it's true. Maybe it's not. Maybe he's being hyperbolic. Who knows? But like, that's what he starts getting choked up about. Like, my life would be totally different if the system worked better. That's what he's complaining
about.
He'd
be walking.
Right.
Which means that this not voting thing shouldn't even be happening. He should be aggressively voting to whoever the left-wing candidate is.
Yes, yes. That's not what we're talking about, though. That's here and there. But either way, thanks for butting in and ruining the momentum of my point. The point is, that's what he's talking about. He's talking about literally this fork in the road that his life took. And then Aaron keeps going like, whoa, man, I didn't know people making fun of you for not voting would piss you off so much. And he's like, no, it's not the not voting thing. Like, you know, it's just that, like, the system's broken. He's like, okay, we get it. We get it. You didn't want to vote. Nobody's making fun of you for not voting. Aaron does. He's not even hearing it. His co-host is telling him, like, you're wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong. And he just keeps going like, I know, like, you didn't vote. We get it.
And Johnny went on his show and explained why he cried. It had nothing to do with the voting. He even said that. And the next day, Aaron again was talking about how we were ragging on Johnny for not voting. I thought it'd be funny. We're busting his balls.
That night.
Yeah, that night. It's like we were busting his balls on this thing and that thing. And it was all funny. I don't know why the voting thing got to him, but it did, you know?
Yeah, but that just goes to show you that, hey, Aaron doesn't watch Johnny's show. Aaron doesn't watch clips of Johnny. Aaron watches clips of Aaron.
Well, in Aaron's defense, nobody's watching Johnny's show.
Fair enough. But there were clips made of it where Johnny definitively kept saying, like, it wasn't the voting thing. I don't care about that. If you don't vote, I didn't vote in 2020. And you'll always get people going, oh, you should have voted. But, like, yeah, that's fine. Is Johnny too sensitive? Should he not be doing this?
Yes.
I mean, this is two times in 6 months.
You can't cry on the internet multiple times in a quarter. That's crazy.
I mean, it's hard for me to say because I did have that birthday breakdown last week. But,
I hope you scrubbed that from the internet. That was embarrassing.
I can't believe you admitted to all of that.
He's
never leaving the show. He's going to stay there forever. If he does it, he's cried twice to the point of having to leave the show already. He gets a meager paycheck from Aaron. There's no way he leaves.
He literally said, you know, we made fun of this, but he literally says in this clip, like, well, I didn't know because he didn't say new boot goofing.
Right.
And it's like, so you need people to sign off that it's a joke. That's where we're at with the Steel Toe Morning Show comedy program. We need people to go like, and that was a joke.
Well, Moody, the funny part about this time crying versus the last time crying is that the last time he was in studio and couldn't just get up and walk away and get a tissue in the bathroom.
Trip over the cord.
Right, yeah. So last time he's on there sobbing. I think he broke into tears 6 times over the course of whatever it was, 30 minutes. And Aaron never picked up on it. He finally was like, hey, man, do you need a minute? Like, he finally looked over and went, holy shit, my co-host is crying. He didn't notice. So we... this time he's home so he can turn off the camera, because if he didn't have the ability to do that, Aaron would have left him on crying the entire time without really addressing it.
Right.
And I brought this up on WATP. Aaron, for as much of a radio guy as he is, tried to make jokes and tried to keep it light. And even when he left, he's making jokes and making wrestling references and shit. He could have leaned into the emotional state of his co-host and gotten a real moment out of him.
Yeah.
Like, dude, oh, wait, you're telling me that if you had taken this medication 10 years ago, you'd still be walking today? Like, how does something like that happen?
Right.
Get into it with him. You're missing out.
He just didn't hear it. He didn't even hear it. That'd be such an interesting discussion. Like, whoa. Right. First of all, I don't know a lot about MS. So, like, yeah, tell me, like, what could they have done? What was holding you up from getting the treatment you needed? What could be done to fix that? Is there anybody locally, you know, that you could have voted for that might have could... You know, first of all, people who, you know, you always hear about these people who are like injured or something like this happens and the system's broken. And then they dedicate the rest of their lives to like getting in touch with politicians and setting up foundations and making the public aware. Johnny just does his radio show. This is the first time we've ever heard about this. He bursts into tears and then signs off. It's like, okay. And then by the way, that's gone. Johnny doesn't even get into it on his own show. Like, we'll never hear anything else about this? That's just gone now.
Well, that was the moment. That was the time to get into it. That was when he was ready to spill it. And Aaron just missed a golden opportunity to get a real... And I talked about this on my show too. Aaron's only clippable moments are him begging for the goal. You never see a clip of Aaron's show where he has a hot take on Matt Gaetz and like, whoa, no one else has that angle. That's crazy, you know? So there was a moment where it could have been people clipping the show because... holy shit, Johnny breaks down and Aaron goes through it with him or something, and the people are compelled by it. He can't do it.
I don't think there's a friendship there anyway that goes that. like, it doesn't, I don't think he'd be capable of having that conversation. Johnny will, I think Johnny, you could get him to speak about that stuff. He goes into detail on his own streams about his life, and you have more genuine conversations with him through his chat, but there's nothing genuine about conversations with Aaron. He'll always look to make the other person look like a fool and himself to be the winner every time.
Unless he needs to be a victim temporarily.
But he's always in show mode. You can tell when
the
camera's on.
Despite him being a victim, he's still coming out on top, and he's doing really, really well considering the fact he's a victim. So,
well,
with a disability, still.
You said he'd never leave there. And to that point, I think on the same show that he explained that it wasn't the voting comments, it was this other stuff, he mentioned that he's starting to make so much on his own program that he might have to quit Steel Toe soon anyway, because he's butting up against his maximum to still get his benefits, which, again, I think is part of the system that's broken that he can speak to. You know, it's like we're going to put a hard limit on the number, an amount someone can earn and still get benefits, as if like that number should be the same nationwide or like in everyone's circumstances. You know, again, you could talk about that stuff, but what if Johnny has to quit? And he said he's talked to Aaron about this, and Aaron's okay with it. So Aaron, in the back of his head, I imagine part of this panic is, fuck, now if Johnny stops coming in, because I'm paying Johnny too much. And that's what he'll tell his audience. Yeah, you pay a guy too much, you know?
Right.
That's right.
But Patrick, you got to think about the optics of this. So a year ago, or let's say 18 months ago, how many people were co-hosting his show? He had different people in the morning.
Oz was on. He had this Oz on. Right. He had Corey Adams. He had Matt. He had Johnny.
April.
Yeah.
April.
SteelToeEntertainment.com, when we went there, when it was still registered. It's not registered anymore. But they had like five or six co-hosts on there talking about. Yeah.
So to watch a show go from all of these different people, and it's something I do on WATP. I enjoy having different co-hosts on. I think it changes things up. It changes what you talk about, changes how you present things. To go from that, which I think is a strength, to have Matt on in the evening and then April's in the morning and then Corey's on Thursday, to go from that to be just you. And, you know, let's not forget we had Gino and Kiki in there as well. To go from just you, like the opposite of that is just like, oh, no one wants to be a part of this. That's not a good look.
Just imagine the slope of any grand lie.
Yeah.
Like, he left radio, and he was on radio, and so he had all these... I mean, think about it in the economics of the comedy community. All these guys are just loser open micers when it boils down to it. Whether it's me, or Ray, or Johnny, or Matt, you know, whatever they were. Corey Adam. These are all loser open micers. And then there's a guy on the radio, and he can put you on the radio, and like that's a big deal, and you'll get exposure in the local market, and that makes a big difference to an open micer because you'll get locals coming out to your show who heard you on the radio.
Yeah.
So when he gets fired, all these people are with him because he's going to get another job in radio, and if he doesn't, he's going to build this thing, and they see him build this thing, and it gets kind of this momentum, and they've got Raleigh's as a sponsor, and so they're doing well. And so they're all with him. But eventually, you know, based on intelligence or whatever, how they're treated by him, they all start going away and falling off because they realize this guy's delusional. He's lying to himself. He's lying to himself while I sit next to him and then looks at me and I'm supposed to go like, uh-huh, your numbers are bigger than they've ever been. Uh-huh, money is better than it's ever been. Like, you can only do that with your wife for so long, someone who shares finances with you, that you tell we can't afford to go on a vacation this year.
Right.
And then you go to your audience and say, we've got more money than we've ever had. It's like, okay, Willy Wonka. I mean, this is getting bananas. So eventually everyone goes because you have nothing to offer and you realize it wasn't about your talent. It wasn't because they were your friends. They were all mooching off you and what you had to offer them. And we've realized this platform is dead. You have no real fans. Everyone's clowning you. Why am I here? Just to be clowned on with you?
Well, that's part of it. But also the other part of it is, they're not having fun.
Right.
For the most part, we get a ton of different people who come on WATP. Whenever I reach out, you know, we have people like Pat Oates or even Eric Nagel or Brian Johnson. These people that come in like every other month or so and do a show with me. Every time I reach out, they're like, yeah, can't wait. When's the next time I'm on? Because it's fun. It's a right. good time to laugh with your friends for a couple of hours. You would think that a
and
guy
because
like Corey,
we're using you. You have an audience. You do have exposure. You do have something to offer. So we're
well, that's
sucking
part of what makes it fun.
That, we're yeah. suckling at that WATP teat.
But that's part of what makes it fun, though, right? Is that there's people actually watching right, and right, paying attention, right. and everyone's having you know fun together with it. And the fact that these people won't even like do a show tells you that it's 4 hours of misery. It really is. I've never watched an entire episode of Steel Toe all the way through. I don't know if anyone ever has. But it's tedious, man. It's 4.5
I've watched
hours
one or
shit.
Two.
It's so tedious.
I don't think Johnny has, and he's on the show.
No, like, right.
Like, you see him check out. He starts to just either stare Jim Starlin to the camera with a dead look in his eye, or he'll just like just do this.
Or Corey chat, which look, is not allowed to do.
Corey started doing this. It's why like we caught Corey watching our show. We yeah. were like, we think Corey's watching NLO while he was on. So we started like putting messages up and he started doing the things we're saying. We're like, oh my God, he yeah. is watching NLO. Because our chat was, you know why? Because he would ban so many people from his chat and stuff that you can't get a real honest. It's why literally if I go on in the morning and I just snipe him and just put his show up and just open my chat. And I'm not even on screen or talking. But I just rebroadcast his show with a free chat, an open chat. I'll almost beat him in numbers because they can't have a real discussion over there. And it goes back to what you said, everyone's having fun and there's a real audience having fun. Do you think that part of his problem is that he tells everybody that we're all laughing at the haters, we're all laughing at the seethers, and this is at a perpendicular to what the audience in the chat are laughing at. But the majority of the audience in the chat of his show are laughing at him or are making fun of him. They're there to watch right. him fuck up.
Yeah.
And he's not going with that. He's not parallel to that. He thinks it feels uncomfortable because
there's a tension there
with him and he's not with the audience and he has to build this delusion around him.
He's pretending to lean into it, but there's a delusion there that makes it uncomfortable. And he said today on his show, he goes, call me an arrogant retard, but no one owns their haters as good as Steel Toe owns his haters. And I'm sitting there thinking, hold on a second. Didn't your haters run your wife off your show and out of your life? Like, what do you mean you own your haters? He might be the worst at it.
No, joke's on us. He wanted to get rid of his wife.
He got back cost together savings. With his parents. It got better with Ashley. They did him a favor. Like, it's a great thing that they did that for him. Thanks, haters. You made my life better. That's how he thinks.
The fact that he thinks he handles, I don't know if he actually thinks this. I can't imagine he does.
No.
That he thinks he's handling the haters so well. They're just constantly seething and they live their lives just for him.
He admits it's all wrestling to him. And so he's going to go up there and play the heel. He comes out to the audience. He's like, yeah, I love your booze. Your booze are great. It means you're thinking about me. Like, that's how he thinks it is going into it. But in reality, it's like people are laughing at him and then not really thinking about him much.
Well, I talked about this transition earlier this week. You know, he started last year telling us, I'm a pro show. I have to show all you YouTubers how to do this. Like, you guys all fuck around. I do a real show. We're pros. We do a real show. And now it's all transitioned to, I'm the best heel in the biz. Everybody loves to hate and A-log me. And it's like, what a shift. I thought, hold on. So now all the shows that are amateurs make fun of you and you're dog on you and that's how you want it?
Well, he also is just a tiny show that's just scraping by because they're one of the smaller shows. The other times he's the biggest show and that's why
all these little shows. Yeah.
The most fascinating thing about Steel Talk, to me though, is the glimpses you get into this man's life that he doesn't intend to let out. And so every new facade he puts on, it's like, okay, this is the new flavor this month. Let's see where the cracks are and how that comes through. Because he's trying so hard to push everything down, but his entire show is revolving more and more about his life the more it goes on. He blasts through his news segments. They almost don't even feature on his show anymore. That like he'll go through them a little.
Well,
but it's just his life that he tries to talk about.
Can I just say real quick, Patrick, hold on to that thought. You're so right. And I say this about John too. When the truth seeps out and you have to see what the real person is thinking and doing, that's always the most entertaining. Just this week, he was doing a rally that, by the way, if nobody gives you money, it's not a rally. He was getting $0 and
he'll
gave
up zero in this rally.
It's not a rally. That's how that works. You're losing. But he literally goes, I'm sweating because he's watching right. No money come in as he's begging for money. Like, that's the real thing that's happening to him physically. He's sweating.
It's one of my clips, and I know this sound won't work, but I got to show. Just for an object lesson. Sorry, go ahead, Eric. Moody.
Moody. Now, Aaron, that's fine. That's why it was so interesting when April was on the show, because you got insights into their relationship. Like,
correct,
she'd shoot him a look, or he pushes it too far. But with her gone, it's just him. And the cracks still show. So, like, what was captivating about the show when April was on is still true today. He's just
The most famous thing he did was when April said she doesn't have an orgasm all the time. That was talked about for weeks. And because that was a real moment that happened where he's just like, whoa, you're not supposed to say that.
And he got,
crazy, because as a comedy guy, he should have been able to riff off of that. I mean, he's already a heel. He could just talk about how he doesn't give a shit if she doesn't orgasm.
I went on Shuli's show and Shuli goes, Carl, you probably give your wife an orgasm all the time. I'm like, I've never given her an orgasm. What are you talking about? Why would I care?
I feel bad for guys who think they give their wife an orgasm every time. They get out of the park.
I don't have time for that shit. Are you kidding me? I got clips to pull.
Best cucks that anyone can have. Anyway, look, I want to present this. This is hold on. Will that work?
You got this, buddy.
Oh, fuck. No. Hold on.
I believe in you.
It's the wrong one. I got to present a different window because it's a different
Patrick's
tab.
I'm sweating right now.
Fuck, my tits are melting off. This is this was a clip I was just going to play, and we don't need to see the point of it. But look, my wife was walking by while I was prepping it, and she just goes, "Look at his tits."
Hold on.
I'm gonna play it, and you'll just see there's a point here where, like, you see a line, and I think this is one of the shirts we used to make fun of him for wearing a breast binder on. Mm-hmm. And now he's like, you know, burned all his bras or something. And you really see a couple shots here where it's like, he's growing melting like breasts. He's growing real, real heavers. I mean, you shouldn't have this level of cleavage fabric bunching up here in between your, I don't know about you guys. I mean, look, Moody's fat. Carl's getting there.
Yep.
But
I got there.
I called him putting on weight, and now we're seeing these pictures of him with these chins.
I'm not even making fun of him for his physical appearance. Just he just wears shirts that just don't work his body type. No, I understand. Yeah, but he wears those same shirts over and over again. It's like, don't wear that shit, man.
He has like four shirts.
I know.
Like, really?
That shirt we just saw, and two others. That's it.
And, you know, I know we all get into the routine of, like, you do laundry, you put the stuff on top of your drawer, you wear that stuff again, you do laundry, you put it on the top. It's like, no, he really has, like, four shirts, and he'll wear two of the shirts he'll wear twice in a week. Like you said, like the Eric Church one or some Vikings bullshit, you know, and then every once in a while he'll pop out with, like, a new hoodie that he got from Teen Gap or something. Like, it'll really be like, where did this come from? It's pink. Anyway, I just wanted to point out his heaving breasts. I thought that was great. And to your point, he said this week also, this is a big announcement, that he was not in the Dabbleverse.
Oh.
And that he's above the Dabbleverse.
Above the Dabbleverse, okay.
And that he, you know, all these shows are sad and pathetic. But remember, he wants to get back on MLC. He really loves Kevin. Mm-hmm. And Kevin's one of the, you know, even though I know the Dabbleverse is Stuttering John and stuff, but Kevin's a big deal in the Dabbleverse.
Oh, yeah. He's the one who brought Stuttering John back. He's a big part of the Dabbleverse.
And Aaron is also watching Lou and Joey C live and then, like, asking for the link and going on their show.
Yeah, I saw that.
And doing, like, wrestling works. Like, Lou, you're a real piece of shit. It's like, Okay, so this is what you have time to do. You don't have time to send out merch. You don't have time to prep your show better.
Come on my show, I said. Aaron, you have an open invitation. Come on my show.
Or this little piggy.
Or this
little
piggy. That's as deep as you can.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, you cut out.
You just muted yourself.
You just muted yourself or something.
Actually, you know what? No, this is perfect.
This is better, actually. This is actually a lot better. This is actually nice.
Patrick, let's talk about some stuff now.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, now you're back.
Yeah, we can.
Right. It's like Joey C and Lou are the deepest depths of the Dabbleverse. I mean, Joey C is deep, and then to know who Lou is, that's even further.
I'm embarrassed for Tukey when he talks about that. I'm like, what are we talking about here?
Right.
So, yeah, he told me at DabbleCon, he's like, I got Joey C from now on. I'm like, okay. Like, I'm like, what?
Yeah, but again, though, Aaron will only talk to people that he thinks he's above.
Well, we might be changing that today. We'll see later in the program. Whitney's Tits, gifting 5 Nobody Likes Onions memberships. Thank you very much, Whitney. Cash, member for 4 months. Nothing bothers him. That's why he's in therapy.
No, that's why he is therapy.
Hold on, what? He says he's a better therapist than his therapist. He says he's a better lawyer than his lawyer. Like, he says this stuff all the time. So it's kind of true. Armando Lynn Nappy. No, Amanda Lynn Nappy.
Amanda Lynn Nappy.
I get it. Y'all are great, but where is El Horrible? I think he couldn't be here today. I don't know why.
We didn't fire him, did we? I can't remember what the last message was.
I don't think so.
You don't think so? All right.
Oh, no. Is this not working now?
That is not working now.
I'm waiting for the Ozempic to kick in. I'm going to watch Meme Copium and potentially Criminal be totally correct about everything. Hold on, Worski's licking my windows again.
That pig saw voice for PPP is dead on.
It's great.
I mean, it sounds really like him.
And I'm loving that avatar, too, for him. That's perfect.
I just got to hear the whoa buddies again.
Yeah. Ooh, buddies!
It's so great. It's so real. LL Cooley, hey Moody, I got you scheduled for a ropes course you've been asking about. Let me in the KKK, Patrick. What's the KKK? Oh, the cool kids. We don't use K's for it. And by the way, whatever, Moody, what do you have going on with this guy? Because he keeps emailing me asking about you. It feels gay. Are you guys hooking up? Is
all of Hackamania hitting on me? Like, he just spent the whole heck of
for you, buddy. You must have felt good about yourself.
Whoa, buddy.
Buddy. I'm currently being exposed for having ditty parties in Vegas with my dent-headed co-host and top pay pigs. We did coke and fucked cookers. I also stole from a pay pig.
That's what's like coming out right now, apparently.
What's going on?
Something about something's leaking that they like. We're fucking pay pigs or something. Him and War. I don't know what's going on with them.
You know, I always say people like to brag about how they don't sleep with their fans when they, you know, have a platform and a following. You're stupid to not take advantage of
that. Right. Right.
I'm a married man, so it's not for me. But if you're single and you have chicks throwing themselves at you, take it.
I got in there a little bit. You know who you are in the chat. Oh, hold on. I didn't even put that one up. Hold on. Keel, seeing Johnny try to leave the studio quickly and tripping on the cord was an epic win for the toe. Poor Johnny. Is Aaron his emergency contact?
I hope
not. He did say this week that Aaron was like one of his need to know, like one of his.
He was texting him things that are important to him. And Aaron was just, and he's just sort of discarding.
Yeah, he's only on a need to know basis. Yeah. He didn't say it. However, he said it was wrong, but he doesn't open up to that guy at all.
TABBOO taboo. Hitler was a nut. Patrick, you've officially lost me.
I will be taking over for April permanently very soon. Nick is grooming me as we speak, and Toe likes to watch.
What were you going to say, Carl?
I don't remember. Keep going.
Sorry. Pat says Joey paid Aaron $200 for that show.
Oh, that's such a lie.
That's true.
It's not true. I mean, if you're Aaron, you can't take that.
Oink, oink.
Oink, oink.
Would you accept $200 from Joey C?
Yes.
I wouldn't. That's crazy.
Wouldn't.
because he never shut up about like, hey, Meldon took $200 from me.
He's paying to own you for life. You don't want that.
Bitcoin, Max Bringle says 99,157. It can't cross that $100,000, but it's going, baby.
It's
going.
The wall set up before 100 is so big.
It's psychological barrier. But yeah. I think once it gets over, it's gonna the levee will break.
You had weaponized autism like me, you would have to write down every number that's important to you. The Vikings are 82.
I too 82.
Sometimes bad things happen to good people.
Right. This thing about Aaron having autism. Look, I really don't think that that's the case. It's one of those things that gets thrown around.
Like it's fucking wild, dude.
Yeah.
It's 100% like him self-soothing. It's like
right. So people with autism will act like that. Some of them will act like that when reality does not match their expectations or they're really, really stressed out. But a normal, like a neurotypical person can maybe be pushed to that extent if what they're going through is so intensely traumatic to them or mismatching what they think or their sense of delusion that it forces them to act in that way. The reason I don't think he is he's very emotionally manipulative. And people on the spectrum tend to be not really, like, they don't pick up on social cues as much. Okay, the more I'm talking about this, the more I'm realizing it does match.
You sound autistic now.
Yeah, sorry.
Dusty, I wake up at 5, but I don't have an alarm. It's just called getting old.
Yeah,
that does happen. Like, my grandfather used to wait for the paper boy and yell at him. You're late.
You're right.
Sam Neal, honestly, wonder why he has the genuine moments of admitting anxiety, etc. In my real life experience with narcissists, it's too real. It's to reel you into their side, a body collector.
So you think even that's a manipulation?
Well, yeah. Remember he would call Kiki and say, it's been a rough week. Like, I'm missing April. It's so hard.
Meanwhile,
we know he's fucking slam piece. It's like,
well, interpersonal relationships, I get that. But I don't know why you would do that in the air. Of course, he doesn't have that problem.
The list, like, he's pressing every button on an elevator. It's like, it's like, I like that person. That person's great. That person, I know what they're doing. Oh, that person sucks. I don't even think about that. He goes through everything.
Jesus Christ, that's pathetic to think about. KJ, here for the seething. Thanks for joining us. Thanks, James KJ. Bomber says, Moody, you should do a show tonight. Forget the big flat lever. I'm Team Moody. Yeah, Moody, you want to do a show on my account tonight? No. You just stream for me?
No. But if James Bomber wants to put up James Bomber money, I will do, just DM me. We'll do a voice call. I'll do a one-person show. No one will see it. It'll be like that Wu-Tang album.
It won't. Seize the day. LOL. Who knew I'd be so talked about? Thank you, Seize the Day. Club 102, Reseda's hottest gay bar. It's Friday, so that means it's time to have a massive cope and seize session before the weekend. Thank you. And Seize the Day again. Love the long and short versions. I'm dancing. Oh, yeah. Moody remixed the theme song, and maybe we'll do a short.
The Canadian forces are out to get you, Patrick. You should get on your immoral knees and praise Allah. If Aaron were any dumber, Melton would marry him.
Jesus Christ, this is really hurting my wife. She can't sleep. She wakes up sweating in panic attacks. Donna G, thank you for giving us an alternative to Stuttering John today. Thank you for choosing this little piggy. Moody, yes. You look like you have...
So I wasn't here last week, but I think you guys let the Kiki and Kiki stuff go pretty light compared to how big it is that what's happening in there. Like Kiki flipped from completely disavowing Aaron and making every one of her shows to be talking about how terrible Aaron is to all the way to starting to like talk and support him.
Dime out April. Her ride or die April, literally she's feeding information. Again, I can't imagine this. Calling or texting the ex-husband, like, I'm worried about April. Like, Aaron's done with April now. They're
right.
They don't have children. They don't own property or a business together. Do not text Aaron 6 months after his relationship. I'm worried about April. This is 100% manipulation by Kiki to start up conversation with Aaron because her, again, I think it's, yeah, like she needs attention or something. It didn't work going after Aaron. Like she tried to, and she can, you know, it shows that she, there's a disconnect between what's actually real and right and what she wants to do and pursue on her program. Because you can say I'm ride or die with April, but you're telling her ex-husband who she, he may or may not be a witness in her case to testify against your information. Like, this is insane.
It is what I think is happening. Like, I'm just speculating it because I don't know what's happening behind the scenes, but
we're all speculating.
Right, yeah, wild speculation.
Not me, I'm going to jail.
Right. You know the facts. So
we've heard Gino quite a few times talk about how April should have been smacked around more often. He's made comments like that, and he's, what we've learned is he's cozied up to Aaron a little bit more over the last month before Kiki sort of joined in. I think Kiki was put in a position where she either needed to maintain her anger at Aaron or go through some weird mental gymnastics to be okay with having Aaron around.
Because
Gino's being okay with it.
Is otherwise, Gino okay with Aaron, or did Aaron call Gino and basically force Gino to be like, yeah, we're fine, man, leave me alone? Does Gino want something to do with Aaron, or does he just want Aaron to go away?
I have a couple things on this, because, Patrick, you're so right. Aaron was the one who called Gino. And Gino, for all of his flaws, and I know that Gino's not a fan favorite in these parts, he is one of the biggest sweethearts you'll ever meet. He just wants to get along. He's not trying to have enemies.
He's simple.
Yes,
he's just a
sweet guy who just wants to hang out, have some beers, watch the football game. That's who he is. So if you called
up Gino,
Carl,
he's a simpleton.
If you or me called up Gino and said, "Gino, what's up, buddy? We got to get together," he'd immediately go, "Yeah, man, let's get together. Let's do this." That's just the guy that he is.
He'd cut you out beforehand, but then he'd go out with you,
right? That's part of what makes him a piece of shit, is because, like, Chad fucks him over, and then Chad's like, "You want to do a show together? Because we're both pathetic and can't get booked anywhere." And he's like, "Yeah, please, let's do a show together."
Does that make him a piece of shit, or does that make him a guy who's just like, "Yeah, I don't really have real enemies. This is all silly that we're doing this."
I don't know. There's people like Chad that I know are like fucked up, like criminal, not good people. I'm never working with Chad on something.
I understand. Of course.
But like, it's a hard line that Kiki drew about her standing up for women and really not being okay with women being abused. There was a thing where one of her producers or clippers was hitting on women in her community, and she was disgusted by that and kicked him out. Like, I will not have someone make this an unsafe space.
Chrissy Mayer at one point was like, he should have run it by us before he asked her for her number. And it's like, what are you talking about?
Wherever you stand on that, she's like, no, women are first. I'm ride or die, standing up for women. She got upset about Aaron using her as a security blanket for domestic abuse when he lied about what they spoke about in their conversation after it was revealed that he smothered April until she couldn't breathe.
Right.
And that's what caused her to break off the relationship with
him. She said, "I believe it. April's told me other stories. I believe her. I'm not going to tell her shit." But
so, Moody, to your point, Keanu feels very strongly that Aaron's a piece of shit for abusing his wife. And now she likes him again. The only thing that could happen is if she found out that all of that was false. But she didn't. So how do you change your mind on something?
Matter of fact, April's come out now on her own Twitter and said it publicly, and Nick has substantiated, which leads me to believe perhaps something happened at Nick's house. I mean, how else could Nick know?
Well, she
zip file. Yeah.
Well, the other thing that I wanted to say, because this came out on the show again today, where people were asking, now that him and Gino are friends again, will Gino be back on the show? Because Gino was on Rumble Fridays. And Aaron, and this is, again, going to the manipulation thing. This is what Aaron does. Rather than just say, "I don't think we're at that place in our relationship," he goes, "Listen, the audience doesn't want it, man. I think Gino's great on here, but the audience, they don't like Gino, so we can't do it." He's putting on someone else to make that decision.
It used to be the audience loves Gino. He's meshed into the fabric of this program. Rumble Fridays are Gino. The whole reason we have to do Rumble Fridays is because YouTube can't take Gino. By the way, Gino does his show on YouTube. Right. It's like, but YouTube can't handle Gino. That's why he's on Compound. It's like, but no, he's on Compound because Anthony Kumi is bad at confrontation.
Now imagine being April in that, sorry, not April, Kiki in that situation with Gino cozying up and being okay with Aaron all of a sudden. So now you have to weigh up either, am I still upset at Aaron for the domestic abuse thing? Or do I want to get along with Gino and find a way to be okay with Aaron? So if she can convince herself that speaking to Aaron is in the interest of April, then that suddenly starts to make everything make sense. It's just a lot of cognitive
work. I think we're really in the beginning stages of the spinning top that is the Steel Toe Morning Show just starting to warble. This thing was like, last year they were cooking, man. They were on, you know, they had some haters coming in pointing out some things in their show. Maybe they had some
zooming in on foreheads and things like that. Sure.
Yeah. So maybe they lost a little bit of ground there, but they were cruising and happy. And this year it's just literally like the whole thing is all over the place. And I think there is a part of his brain that truly believes he's getting radio again. I really do believe he thinks that. Again, yeah, anyone who got an email that said it's been the worst year ever for us, Aaron interprets that as, well, next year will be better. Everybody right. else is like, well, yeah, it's a declining industry.
I hope he gets back on the radio. That would be the funniest thing. Like, right. He's earning roughly, if he hits every goal, it's 130K a year. There's no radio show that's going to pay him 130K. Well,
36K is what he's after.
Right. So 36K.
We know that.
He needs to make up another 95 or 94K. He's not going to do that through advertising. So even when he's on the show, like on the radio again, the goal is going to just be lowered by, what, $100 per show?
No, I think there'll be night shows with goals. He won't be able to beg for personal money on the FM radio waves.
He's going to end up at a net loss in that case. Like, it's going to be, he'll be in a worse financial position.
Right, but I think it's like Chad Zumach. Like, Chad Zumach would quit doing comedy tomorrow for a morning radio show in Shreveport. Right. He'd never step on it. Or he'd, you know, do the local comedy club there and host on the weekends and be like, what are you talking about? I'm like on the radio and I do comedy. And then like he'd have, you know, 4 weeks off a year where he'd go do one opening gig for Godfrey and one opening gig for Florentine. And like, and he'd still pretend to be a comic. But I think the persona, we see it. Look, the password on his phone 4 years after he's fired from that station is 1017. He gets up at 6 a.m. He needs co-host. All he does is talk about getting back to radio. All he talks about is the radio audience is a good, they get it. This is who he is. He don't know who he is if he don't have this. And it's crazy because everyone else knows he don't have it. Like, radio's your past. That's you're never going back to radio and everyone knows it. But he's like, no, I'm in between radio gigs. It's like, oh, honey.
He's so stressed about money, though, with that coming in. That makes me think he's got credit card bills or debt or something he needs to service. Like, he needs every penny that comes in. And if that salary starts to go lower, sure, his identity, like the ego thing about him being back on the radio might be serviced, but the amount of money coming in is going to be less.
Well, we don't know. It might already be less. We don't know what fake donations he's getting. And I think, again, he sees it wobbling and go, like, this is going to go. This all these dominoes are going to fall. This is going to be over. I might always make a trickle from this because of the meme. Like, there's just a point to all these shows where you're like, what if nobody gave him money for the day? That'll never happen because the meme is worth it to people. Like having this every day to laugh at is so good. They'll never let it die.
I guess he started to reminisce. Like, he was saying, I was so much happier when I was younger. I was hardly earning any money, but I was happy.
Right.
And I had, yeah, he's like, yeah, it was just, he's like, I was happy. Yeah, he didn't say that.
He wasn't stressing out about money every day. Yeah, he was living a less expensive lifestyle and carefree. But Moody, I think the other thing in his mind, you got to remember that aside from being the greatest shock jock of all time, maybe top three at least.
On the Mount Rushmore of.
Obviously, yeah, Mount Rushmore of shock jockery. Aside from that, he's also a media sales rep. Like, that's his job. That's his profession. And mm-hmm. so he tries to sell all of his buddies and the local businesses on steel toe. And he's got no numbers and he doesn't get any results and it's not working. If he right, can go he back to his businesses.
He wouldn't know how to put together a media kit if he tried. Like, what do you think the pitch is for steel toe?
I have no idea. But if he can go back to those businesses with, hey, I'm on FM radio again in your market.
And their numbers are this because they have numbers.
Right. So I think... In his mind, he'll take that $36,000 a year base salary, and then he'll make it up with advertising sales. And now he's not begging for the goal. He's got advertisers, which is
also
in his mind. That's the perfect place to be.
And I know like all these laws against payola and stuff, but there's so much in-kind shit that goes on with these in these
free,
backwater towns.
Free meals. So,
like, and he gets all these places on his roll. Like he's the cop going around town, getting a free coffee here, getting a free donut there. We always get lunch over here. We always like, he's got, they give me a free tank of gas every month over here. The dealership's giving me a car.
Vikings tickets, Twins tickets. Yeah, all that shit for sure. What?
Advertisers and radio are a poison pill for him. There'll be FCC regulations he needs to go by. Rumble Friday goes out the window.
It's dead. I'm telling you. I'm not telling you it's going to happen. It's not going to happen. There's no money in radio.
You said the funniest thing would be him going back. Yeah, because like his cornerstones of comedy are like Nazi stuff, black stuff, trans stuff. What?
And the haters.
And it's like, okay, this is awful car drive time radio.
All right. I want to bring this up. I know we have our guests coming on. I want to have a lot of time with our special guests. But let me just bring this up real quick. Because every morning he brings up the haters. Every morning. Mm. And my favorite parts of his show are the beginning and the end. What happens in between, who knows? But the beginning's great because he gets to figure out what's really on his mind and what's bothering him. And then the end when he's begging for the goal and missing it, that's fun. But he's constantly bringing up the haters. And that's true of all of these shows that are being run by their haters. When you get to 10 to 50% of your show talking about the haters, you've lost control of your show.
And it's always the first minute. Like in the
always.
First minute.
He brought you up today in the first 4 minutes.
No,
he brought you up today.
I haven't seen it yet.
It's wild. You're just like, dude, this is all you're thinking about. It's the first thing you come up with when you're talking.
I never stop thinking about him.
Right. Yes. Yes.
He's bringing me up. I like, who am I?
I don't know if I'll be able to hear the F1 cars over the sound of my own brain just thinking about Aaron Imhol.
He said today on his show, he loves the YouTube chat. This is how he put it. He goes, people are like, that YouTube chat, it's vile and gross. But I love that it exists and I love that people know I don't even read it. He thinks that he's getting over by the fact that people are clowning him and he doesn't see it. Like, that's a win.
He's back to, we have 50,000 unique viewers every month. Like, I have 1,200 watching at any given time.
Right.
He did a big rewrite this week, actually. He actually said that he met April at a live event at Raleigh's for the radio station.
Yeah. That's not how it happened. Well, maybe that's the second time he met her, right?
This high school student was at a bar?
Well, no, because
he met back up with her. Yeah.
Like, maybe that's what it was.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Because I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
And also, like, he almost never talks about that. Why are you bringing that up now? It's almost like to bury some other accusation. And then he went on a thing this week, too, about my browser history, which was weird. He was like, he probably goes to this. I can't play the fucking clip, but he's like,
yeah,
he probably goes to like this kind of porn or goes to this kind of site. And then he goes over to this and it's like, put up a browser history.
Wait,
like,
yeah, I thought you were writing fan fiction. Now he's writing fan fiction about what you're jerking off to.
I admit we write fan fiction. Yeah. I'm giggling. Of course we're writing fan fiction. He's like, he's over there in his Discord. He'll write a paragraph about what he thinks SP's saying to us. And it's like, yeah, you get it.
Yeah,
like, that's exactly what we're doing. Right. Like, yeah, because you said we're over there like giving out addresses and doxing and stuff. No, we're wondering what's going on, man. That's all we're doing.
And it's based on evidence of what we've seen on the show and what you've talked about. So it's not just like made up out of nowhere.
Anyone who doxes or says personal information or stuff gets banned from that Discord. So it's like we're not interested in going after people's lives or anything like that. It's just, let's watch.
Aussie guy says, what does Gino have on you, Carl? He's a dummy.
I'm telling you, Aussie guy, Gino would win you over in 10 minutes if you hung out with him. I know Aussie guy's a big sports fan. I hung out with Chrissy Mayer's content house. Well, I hung out with him a couple times at that. But the second time, we were just watching football all day on a Sunday. And it's a blast. He's a fun guy.
Yeah, wow. I unironically use the word felted. It's so fun, Akul. Felted!
Sorry, he's, go ahead.
Yeah, Gino in person, you can't. Like, even if you start telling him something you don't like about him, he'll be like, yeah, yeah, I'm an asshole. What do you think? And what, like, I admit it. Yeah, I'm an asshole.
So hold on a second. Can I bring something else up, though? Why is it the Aussie guy on this show? I've never invited him because I think it's like 4 a.m.
late
for him,
right,
or something.
What a pussy.
Yeah, is he up right now watching this?
Well, we got a better guest for today.
Well, we do today, but Aussie guy, you have an invite on this show, my friend.
Anonymous says, hour two is here. There's no special guest, no Bedabbler. Or sorry, and Bedabbler is live with Husey?
What?
What's happening to the well-oiled piggy machine? Is this why he couldn't do it? He's on with Husey?
Oh, he recorded that Wednesday night.
Whoa. Okay.
He recorded that, yeah.
All right, we do have a special guest.
It's fucked up that Husey's going up against us with that, though.
We do have a special guest backstage. This is...
Let's not keep him waiting any longer.
Look, you know, there are certain points in human history, Cyberdyne systems, Super Tip, these moments where technology really breaks through.
The punch card, sure.
And we wanted to get Aaron Imhold on this show for lunchtime, for a long time. I'm hungry.
For a fish lunch.
For a fish lunch, everybody. We wanted him on. But we put our brains together with AI, and we took the voice system behind Super Tip, and we've created a virtual Aaron Imhold. And we hope to be rolling this out as a product from Super Tip very soon for people to use our voices. Ladies and gentlemen, Aaron Imhold joining this little piggy.
The This Little Piggy Show, huh? Well, I'm here feeling great and ready to show everyone another win for the toe. Let's get this rolling. It's going to be a great time.
Hi, Aaron. This is Patrick Melton from Nobody Likes Onions.
Oh, Patrick, it's always a pleasure to hear from you. I'm sure you're here to talk about the incredible success of Steel Toe. But hey, another day, another win for the toe. How's everything going on your end?
Everything's good. Thank you for being here today. I think it's really brave of you to show your face on this program, especially since everything, you know, you put on this facade where everything's going great, but we know deep down you're not having the best year, are you?
Well, Patrick, I appreciate your concern, but I assure you everything is a win for the toe. Sure, life has its challenges, but we're still going strong. It's all about staying positive and moving forward. No matter what, the Steel Toe Show is still kicking and making waves.
And we're going to have you on for a while. Do you mind if people from our audience write in some questions to ask you while we have you on here today, too?
Of course, Patrick. I'm more than happy to stick around and answer some questions from your audience. It'll be another great opportunity to show everyone just how much the Steel Toe Show is winning. Let's get those questions rolling.
Hey, Aaron, this is Carl from Who Are These Podcasts. Thanks for coming on the show. We appreciate it. I know that I already asked you this when we set up the pre-interview, but can you just tell the audience whose dick is bigger? Is it yours or Nick Riccata's?
Oh, definitely the Steel Toe Show is bigger. No doubt about it. We're constantly making headlines, and people just can't seem to stop talking about us. It's another win for the toe.
No, we're talking about your penis.
Yeah, well, whose penis is bigger?
I don't think you want to respond to that.
Aaron, are you not allowed to talk about sexual things?
Aaron, whose penis is bigger, yours or Nick Riccata's? He was confused.
Is this broken already? Have we broken the...
He looks very confused.
Aaron, are you still here?
Nope, he's gone.
Oh, no.
Well, look, this is a beta product. Can you restart it?
Yeah, I can restart him.
And we will take your questions. If you guys have any questions for Aaron, he can answer those.
All right. He's going to be refreshed.
Aaron,
hey, so happy to finally be on the show.
Yeah, great. Aaron, listen, this is Patrick from Nobody Likes Onions. Do you ever think about where your wife is and if she's over there with Nick being pleasured?
Ah, Patrick, always trying to get a rise out of me. Honestly, I'm just focusing on the show and all the wins we're stacking up here on the Steel Toe Morning Show. Another win for the toe, you know. April's choices are her own, and I've moved on to bigger and better things.
Have you really moved on, though, Aaron? This is Moody, by the way. Have you really moved on, though? Because we see you quite upset about all of this. It's very visible.
Moody, you know me, always keeping things positive and looking for that next win. Sure, it's been a roller coaster, but the show is stronger than ever. We're hitting goals, making connections, and it's all coming up steel toe. Whatever's happened in the past,
what do you mean? This is Patrick again, Aaron. Listen, I don't know what you mean that the show's stronger than ever. You're stacking W's. We can see the numbers; they're public, and you're not stacking W's. You're not winning. The other shows that make fun of you, they have bigger numbers.
Patrick, it seems like you're just seething because we're out here getting those wins. The numbers don't always tell the full story. And the community we've built is incredible. Every day we're reaching new heights and bringing in fresh ideas.
So, but if you silence the voices of your community that don't agree with you, are you really building a true community? If you don't let people talk who disagree with you, how can you ever get true feedback and really build a true community?
Well, Patrick, it's all about keeping the show a positive space. We welcome feedback, but there's a line between constructive criticism and negativity. I'm focused on maintaining an environment where the show's supporters can enjoy what we do without unnecessary distractions. And hey, if there's a little pushback along the way, it's all part of the journey to another win for the toe.
Got it.
Hey, Aaron, this is Carl from Who Are These Podcasts. Thanks for coming on the show. We appreciate that. You like to make fun of people for being gay quite often, but it definitely appears that you, in fact, are the person who is gay. Care to comment? Oh no, I broke it again. Every time I ask him a question, I break it, I think.
I think like some filter that's on it or something, and then it crashes. Aaron, are you there?
All right, I give up.
Is that what's happening? Like if he says something sexual, it comes back that it can't do it, and then the whole thing breaks?
Yeah, I think we might not be able to ask him about sex.
Okay, stuff. I got one. Let's try this. Okay.
All right, want to try one more time?
Hey, so happy to finally be on the show.
Aaron, just a quick question. You know, you talk about this every once in a while when you were younger, that you breastfed until you were 7.
Yes, the infamous breastfeeding story. I was indeed quite attached to it until I was 7. It became a bit of a running joke among friends back then and even now. But hey, it just makes me unique, right? Another win for the toe, I'd say.
And what does it taste like, the milk?
Well, it's been quite a while since those days, so I don't remember the exact taste, but I imagine it was comforting and familiar at the time. You know, just another quirky chapter in the story of Aaron, another win for the toe.
Hey, Aaron, some people in the chat are asking about what your favorite meal to eat in bed is.
Oh, you know, I usually go for something simple but satisfying, like a good sandwich. My current girlfriend, Slam Piece, often brings me snacks during the show, and I always appreciate it. It's these little moments that are wins for me. Speaking of which, there might be a slight issue here. Looks like I might have made a bit of a poopy in my pants.
Oops. Jesus!
But hey, we'll just...
Hold on, you just made a poopy in your pants?
Yeah, it seems like that happened. Not exactly the highlight of the day, but you know what? I'll just roll with it. Another Hold win on. For the toe.
This
right?
is Maybe 100% random because you're an AI. You don't know you're an AI, but out of nowhere, we were asking about snacks you like in bed, and you decided to tell us you pooped your pants?
Well, you caught me at a bit of an awkward moment, but sometimes life throws you these unexpected challenges. It's all about how you handle them. And I'm just here to keep things moving smoothly. Another win for the toe, even in the face of a little mishap.
What?
Aaron, are you just sitting there in your own poop right now? Go and clean it up. Why are you just sitting around?
I appreciate the concern, but I'm all about keeping the show rolling. I've got Gordy by my side, and I'll handle things as soon as I can.
Hold on, is Gordy eating your poop?
No, Gordy is just being his curious self, but he's not doing anything like that. He's just hanging out with me like he usually does. Another day in the life of Aaron and Gordy, making it all a win for the toe.
Does it get lonely, Aaron? This is Patrick from Nobody Likes Onions. I know you hate me probably, but does it get lonely in the house? You know, you have a lot of time. You have these, you say you have panic attacks, you get sweaty and stuff. What is it like in that house when the show's over?
Hey, Patrick. Well, despite everything, I keep my head up and focus on the positive. Having Gordy and Slam Piece around definitely helps, and I keep busy with the show and its goals. Sure, there are moments, but I prefer to see it all as just another opportunity to win. Yet I do have those moments of panic and stress, but I push through. After all, it's all about another win for the toe, right?
All right, I got to test the AI real quick. Hey, Aaron, this is Carl from Hurley's Podcast. What's your favorite movie quote, and what movie is it from?
Oh, hey, Carl. One of my favorite quotes has to be, I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse from The Godfather.
Wow.
Fucking amazing.
Wow.
Sign me up for really this product. Good. That's awesome.
Aaron, do you ever miss going over to the Ricada's house and visiting your ex-wife and Kayla?
You know, that chapter is behind me now. I'm okay. Focused on my show and moving forward, making sure every day is a win for the toe.
But
whatever happened in the past
really
is
behind you. You gotta understand. You got court cases coming up and stuff. Is that chapter really behind you?
Well, I like to think that I'm moving forward and focusing on the positives. Sure, there are challenges, but I've got my eyes on the future and making sure the show succeeds. It's all about turning things into wins, even when it gets tough.
Aaron, be honest. How many times did you actually do cocaine?
And you broke him again, Carl. Oh, Jesus Christ.
You can't bring up gay sex.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Cocaine. Fuck me.
AI Aaron. We're going to be, look, we're working on Aaron. It takes
shit himself.
It takes a long time to fill Aaron's brain with everything Aaron knows about Aaron and the world around him. But I will say this. Out of nowhere, when asked what he likes to eat in bed, he thought of shitting himself. It's almost like he had a memory of a sandwich he ate in bed and then shat himself. That was real AI. That was a real sense
it's not,
dream.
It's not scripted in any way. That's impressive.
Oh, God. Yeah, we'll be working on that. And people hate it. I got to put up all the chats where people are seething about it.
Aaron, what does Nick's penis feel like in your mouth?
We couldn't say it. We're not allowed to say that.
That would have been a good question.
Painkiller says, we still can't get Aaron's voice right. Let's make Aaron.
Well, hold on a second.
I agree. We got to get Aaron's voice better.
Can I just say this? Because you came to the conclusion that you can't ask sex questions, but I literally asked that question before we started the show to test it, and he said, it's not about the size. It's about how you use
it.
So we did answer the question about whose dick was bigger.
I think we have some filter. We have some filters on that need to be removed, probably. Because it only crashes when one of those sensitive topics comes up, drugs or sex.
Yeah.
So, like, I imagine there's some response coming back that's not being handled properly.
Aaron's entire life is revolving around drugs and sex.
I know. I can't help asking these questions.
Husey is ball washing Aaron. Look, eventually we're going to get all the AIs of all the voices with full backgrounds, and you'll be able to just put out a YouTube channel where you host a show of just AI. We don't even have real people anymore. Who needs real Husey and real Aaron when everyone can have Aaron on their show to ask him anything he wants and get kind of an honest answer? I think it'd be good. Gonzo only donating to tell you this Aaron AI shit. Look, it's a gimmick. We tried. It's early days. We'll see if we can get it better. No, we whipped that up this week just to play with, to see if we could do something with it. But that's like what, Moody? 2 days of work here and there?
One day. I worked on it last night. That's
better than a chart, you know? It's better than a chart.
I would have rather to do a chart.
Worse than the Cardiff Punch interview. Fuck you. Not recorded Wednesday. Husey is live with Super Chats. Love you more than a friend. Oh, no. Gonzo said this shit is so bad, Aaron would do it on his show. Aaron talking to AI Aaron would be great.
That'd be awesome.
AI Aaron, does God exist? And if so, is he a Seal Toe fan? We'll have to ask him.
We should bring him back for that. That's a good question.
I can do that.
Yeah, let's bring him back.
All right.
I'll bring that back up.
Aaron, tell the truth. You liked how thick and chunky it was.
Oh God, hold on.
Good question too.
Let me just refresh.
Aaron, tell the truth. You liked how thick and chunky it was.
Hey, so happy to finally be on the show.
Aaron, this is Patrick from the Nobody Likes Onions program, a more popular show than your show. I'm sure you're very well aware of it. Does God exist? And if he does, is he a Steel Toe fan?
Oh, Patrick, always trying to ruffle my feathers. Well, as far as I'm concerned, God must be a fan of the Steel Toe Morning Show because despite everything, I'm still here, kicking and winning. It's just another win for the toe, wouldn't you agree? But hey, if you're trying to take a jab at me, it just shows you're seething due to my victories. Keep talking about me. It only makes me more relevant.
Good answer. Right. It's a good answer, yep. Can't argue with that.
Anything else you want to ask him about a penis before we go, Carl? Hey, how big's your Carl penis, Aaron?
Now you're breaking.
Oh, come
him.
On, Carl. You know I don't
kiss. Hold on. Whoa, whoa. Wait, what's happening? We want to know how big your penis is. Carl and Patrick here.
Look, I'm not going to get into those kinds of details, but let's just say, in the grand scheme of things, it's another win for the toe. That's what really counts, right?
So your penis is as big as a toe?
Oh, you guys are a riot. Let's just say it's big enough to keep winning in life. And speaking of wins, the Steel Toe Morning Show keeps rolling, no matter what anyone says.
Can we talk about when you pooped yourself a minute ago?
No. I have a question for Aaron, if you guys don't mind. Aaron, what's your favorite quote from the movie Goodfellas?
Ah, Goodfellas, a classic. I'd say one of my favorite quotes would have to be, as far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster. It's iconic and really sets the tone for the whole film. But hey, you know, just like in the movie, I'm always aiming to come out on top and make things a win for me.
Aaron,
another win for
Aaron,
the
it's, Aaron, it's Moody here. I was just, there's this thing that's come out in the last couple of weeks. I'm not sure if you saw that Nick released search history on Twitter. Can you speak much about that?
Oh, Moody, I see you're bringing up old news. You know, people love to make a big deal out of nothing. Whatever Nick thinks he has, it's just another attempt to get attention.
It's a good point. He brings up search history is legitimately
old news. Yeah, that's the best.
Good point. That's a good point, Aaron. That's a
pretty good point right there. Aaron, what's your favorite Eric Church song? Did he hear that? Aaron, this is Carl from Who Are These Podcasts. What's your favorite Eric Church song and why?
Hey, Carl, you know, Eric Church has some great tunes, but if I had to pick a favorite, I'd go with Springsteen. It's got that nostalgic vibe, and it reminds me of good times and simpler days. Plus, like the song, I'm always about making memories and keeping those wins coming.
Because you like that old school radio look.
Exactly. There's something about that old school vibe that just resonates with me. It's all about capturing those classic moments and turning them into wins, just like we do on the Steel Toe Morning Show. Another win for the toe.
Aaron, when will you get your next job on the radio? I fucking broke him. God damn it. Was I supposed to say this is Carl?
Oh, because this could be a good one. Reboot it. This could be a good.
I want to know what he says about this.
Aaron, when are you going to get your next job on the radio?
Oh, Carl, always trying to get under my skin. Well, as far as I'm concerned, it's only a matter of time before the radio world realizes what they're missing. Until then, I'm busy winning right here with the Steel Toe Morning Show. Radio or not, I'm still making it a win for the toe.
Yeah, but are you talking to any radio stations? Like, do you have any job prospects?
You know, I like to keep my options open. There are always conversations happening in the background, and I'm confident that when the timing is right, the perfect opportunity will come along. Meanwhile, the Steel Toe Morning Show keeps going strong, and that's a win in my book.
So have you been talking to Leighton Broadcasting at all?
Well, let's just say that I'm always keeping an ear to the ground for any opportunities that might arise. Whether it's Leighton Broadcasting or any other station, I'm ready for whatever comes my way. Until then, the Steel Toe Morning Show is where the real action is, and that's just another win for the toe.
Aaron Moody here. Do you want to tell us a little bit more about Slam Piece and how what role she plays on the show these days?
Moody, glad you asked. Slam Piece has been a great support for me, both personally and with the show. She's full of ideas and has really helped me stay positive, whether it's helping out with merchandise or just being there to bring me a snack during a broadcast. She's definitely become an integral part of the Steel Toe Morning Show. It's just one more way we're making sure it's a win for the toe.
Aaron, Patrick here from Nobody Likes Onions. What does Doc Holliday from the film Tombstone think about me?
Patrick, I bet if Doc Holliday from Tombstone were around, he'd probably appreciate a good rivalry.
It almost got there.
Just like you and me.
Oh, wow. Wasn't too bad. Beta test on your own time, nerd, says Gonzo, which is a good point.
You guys need cool props like triangles and whistles?
I love Pigsaw.
All right, I think we're done.
Props
anybody
can
else?
Definitely add a fun element.
Shut the fuck up.
I actually have something for him. All right, is he still on there?
Yes.
This is actually from Giro in the chat, which this is good. Aaron, can you do some freestyle rapping for us about this show, This Little Piggy?
All right, here we go. This Little Piggy, it's got the flow with Patrick and Carl running the show, Moody and the crew keeping it tight while Steel Toe's here bringing the light. Another win for the toe. That's how we roll. Keeping it real. That's the ultimate goal.
Hey, I like that. That's pretty good. This
That's
is
fucking awesome.
Patrick from Nobody Likes Onions. Can you do another freestyle rap? This time, sum up your entire year and be honest. I know sometimes you like to brag and pretend like you're winning, but be really honest and heartfelt. Include the losses and reflect on what you've learned from the bad things that have happened. Be specific and don't worry about length. Just go, go, go.
All right, let's lay it down. This year has been wild, ups and downs in the mix, April's departure, something I couldn't fix. The show's had struggles with goals to meet, but I kept pushing forward, refusing defeat. Sponsors came and went like a fleeting glance, yet I stood my ground, ready to take a chance. I learned to adapt with new ideas in tow, and though it was tough, I continued to grow. The Recchieta drama, a storm I had to face, but I stayed resilient, finding my own space. Through all the setbacks, I found a way to cope, holding on to wins, giving myself hope. Slam Piece by my side, helping me stay strong. With every challenge faced, I know I belong. So here's to the year, the good and the bad, learning from losses. For that, I'm glad. Another win for the toe as I stand tall, ready for the future to conquer it all.
Wow.
Moody has
Aaron
been vindicated.
That was Aaron Imhold, everybody. Wow. That was a pretty good summary of what's been going on. That was great. Oh, God, this thing could be fun eventually.
TMZ Zumok here. Ask AI Aaron this question. If a tree falls in the forest and no one hears it, why did I get fired for crashing into it?
That's a good question.
Well, you know, trees come and go. The branches of life are mysterious. Past Rocco left the A show for a D show with Dan podcast. Oh, no, this is getting worse.
Is he competing with us right now? Because I was joking about firing him before, but maybe we should have that conversation.
I can just do an AI Tukey. I think that.
Yeah, we'll have – maybe next week we won't even need him. Half of it will be, whoa, hacka, hacka.
All our voices are on there. We could just do this.
Yeah, we don't even need to show up anymore. That's what we're striving for. Thank you, Crew Jones. We'll ask next time if he made April come. We're afraid of the – yeah. Sexual stuff. Oh, this is an old one that came in days ago. I didn't mean to put it up, but we were talking about this fat girl, and somebody said you could hide Anne Frank in that arm of hers. Thank you very much, Kane. I think we're caught up on these. I don't want to. Oh, no. Fuck. We're not. Chris, 048. We will never get a better AI Aaron if Carl can't stop breaking things. It's a good point.
Sorry.
Is it time for your nap?
It probably is.
Ted went 65 member for 2 months. The AI is like real Aaron. Bring up a sensitive topic and he glitches out.
It's true.
It's a good point. Jeru, member for 20 months. Ask him to rap. Let's go. Yeah, that was great. That really saved the bit.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, Carl. He's still denying the cum tasting every day. So what do we think about this? Like every day he is like bringing it up. Now, I know he's getting like teased about it in super chats, but he's still doing that weird like laugh that I don't think goes with it, where he's like, no, I didn't. God, I didn't eat cum. It's like, what?
Yeah.
It's such an absurd thing he can just fight against because it's hearsay. It's just Nick saying it. So,
it's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, so he can't really talk. Like, there's no evidence of it. It's just Nick's word.
No evidence of it. There was a guy fucking his wife and he's into cuckold porn. I don't call that evidence.
Yeah, but there's many shades of cuck.
Well, Moody, maybe you know more about this subject than I do. Please explain. Yeah,
actually,
many
shades of cuck.
Of cuck. Got it?
Gay!
That was going to be one of my PowerPoint presentations. But
PhD thesis.
Right, but there's some people who just exchange partners. There's others that really like the fact that their woman's going off with someone else and then coming back to them. And then there's which is called hot wifing, I think.
Yeah, that's not cuckold. That's not what a cuck is. Exchanging partners is not what a cuck is.
Yeah. So there's hot wifing, which is exchanging, like your wife goes off with someone else. But then there's cuck. There's like being a cuck, which is. There's a humiliation aspect added on top of that where
there's a bull and a cock. That's what Aaron's into. That's what he's watching.
But then I think that goes even further into humiliation if he's like eating it afterwards. Like that's really far.
But like what is like he's even addressing like he's starting to like say like I went to the police. Like these people have some problems coming their way. You know, he's hinting about all these.
What do you mean he went to the police? He's just sitting there and winning by doing nothing. He's not going to the police.
Oh, yeah, but also reporting things to the police. Right, so he's going to the police, and, you know, we know this is about his browser history or the hacking of his Google account or whatever he thinks happened. So he keeps, like, talking about this, but in a way he never has to address where this came from. So, like, imagine being in his audience and not watching these other shows, not being on Twitter, not knowing anything about what's going on. And he keeps referring to, like, going to the police and a lot of laws were crimes were committed.
They're very interested in serious what I had to stuff. Say. Very and interested
like,
in it.
So you're sitting there going, like, what happened? And he's like, guys, we can't talk about everything. Right. It's like, we can't talk about your jerk-off history of...
he even pulled up... he pulled up that... tweet where it was like chats from the Discord where we were talking about it,
right?
And like, look at these chats. I mean, they're just seething in there. But like, he didn't open any of the chats.
Oh, is that why he didn't show the chats?
Yeah,
because they talk about the browser history and stuff.
Yes.
Got it. So
he's not.
He said that he turned something over to the police. It was a slam dunk. He said they called it a slam dunk, and like it was over.
I did a show today with Vinny Paulino. We did a Creep Off bonus show where we just watched the body cam, cop cam videos. And I brought on a buddy of mine who's a detective for Rochester Police Department or a former detective for the Rochester Police Department. And so it's interesting to get a cop's perspective on these things. And when you find out how cops really think, he's like, yeah, if I would have pulled that woman over, we would have let her go just because I don't want to file the paperwork. Like, cops are lazy. They're not looking for work to do. When you go to the cops, you're just like, I want this person arrested because this thing and that thing. They're just like, yeah, man. So where does he live in Vegas? I mean, I don't know if that's in our jurisdiction. I can make a phone call to Vegas or something for you. All right. Have a good day.
But like, also, like, we're going to go seize all his drives because he did what? Said he hacked you?
Right.
This is something that I got told off because they say I'm sweeping for Nick with this, which I'm really not.
Oh, God. He's so defensive about this.
So Nick posted. Nick never said that he had Aaron's history. We've just put that together because any reasonable person looking at this knows that Nick has it, right? Or thinks that Nick has it.
A week before this all happened, Nick tweets out, Aaron jerks off after reading my QE Farms thread to cuck porn, and I can prove it.
and then releases.
So then he comes on Little Piggy, says it again. The next day he releases that in tandem with messages that come out from Aaron, allegedly, that say Nick had access to my Google account.
Yes.
If Nick had never messaged me ever in life, I'd be screaming, "Oh my God, Nick has access to Aaron's Google account."
Any reasonable person puts that together and sees that's what's happening. But to then go and convict someone of doing a crime, you have to prove
doing a crime
beyond a reasonable doubt. Like you need to
To convict them, not to accuse them.
Sure, yeah, to convict them, you need to prove it beyond a reasonable doubt. Right. But first you need to convince the police to look into it. And this is...
He said it's a slam dunk.
No, he's releasing... So this guy's releasing browser history.
Identifying... Right.
Yeah, there's no extortion happening. No one's losing money because of this. No one's getting physically hurt because of this. There's no property damage happening. Like, it's a very low stakes in terms of cost crime that's essentially happening. So the cops need to say, okay, this is...
Yeah, but Melton said they might have passwords and credit cards in a zip file.
Sure. Can you prove that they've used that? Like, maybe change your passwords and change your PIN numbers and get new credit cards, and then that's all moved on. You need to convince the cops to take your case. Once they do, they need to spend a lot of time to investigate it. And this is a small town, small town cops. Like, they're not...
Well, you're challenging them now to come get us. us, pigs. But you hear that? Stearns County pigs, come get me, faggots.
I think he did, but to convince the cops to look into it and then for them to investigate it enough to come out with a conviction,
even if everything, you're all just going to be silly. No one's going to jail. Look, Nick might go to jail, but that might be for other reasons. Who knows?
I have experience with this just from the Dabbleverse. Stuttering John has gone to the police multiple times. He went to the police for Chad Zumach. He claimed he called the RPD because I was making fun of his kids. He went to the FBI three different times because of these Kate Meany phone calls that she recorded. And he talks about it. He's just like, yeah, they don't want to do anything with it. Right. They have bigger things they're working on, or they just don't care.
If you've got evidence that a bike was stolen from your property and you've got camera footage of it, you're like, okay, I proved that this is happening. Why don't you come here and dust for prints so you can look up who came into my garage and looked it up? They're not going to go and put an effort to dust for prints to get a bike.
Yeah, they don't dust for prints.
Right? Like, even if a genuine crime has happened, and that they can investigate it, they need to justify spending the cost on the
Moody.
On the
they're literally giving him a lollipop and saying, "Yeah, we're going to get right on this. Have a great day, sir. Exactly. We'll call you. Don't call us."
They'll definitely take a statement. They'll keep it in their records in case it escalates.
Yep.
But I mean, why not spend?
We're going to put this paperwork right over here.
We'll keep your resume on file. Yep.
They've got drugs and murders and all sorts of things happening on the street that are so much easier and more impactful to go after.
I don't know.
Many resources are they going to spend on this?
Aaron, we know how Aaron tells stories, and I think that's important here.
Yeah.
Because, when he comes back and he's like, I went down to the cops today, and they were like, this is a slam dunk, and they told me, this is happening now. It's the radio thing.
Right.
April's police upstairs don't talk making like that. Candied bacon. The police are upstairs making candied bacon.
Police don't talk like that. It's like when Trump says, my doctor says I'm 100% healthy. It's like that. Doctors don't talk like that. Police don't say it's a
video game.
Right.
Yeah. I'm 100%
media going to have me on next year. It's definitely all of those things is just, it's wishful thinking on his part. And they could just be asking him to submit all the evidence he has. The
police said that this is one of their hardest years with catching up with bullshit, frivolous cases. But that leads me to believe that next year they'll be able to tackle it. I think that in January, Melton will be singing a different tune. I'm not saying I'm not going to have to go downtown. I'm not going to say I'm not going to have to answer questions. I'm not saying I'm not getting a call. I'm not saying no one's knocking at my door. I'm not saying no one's looking at my phones or subpoenaing my records. I'm saying I'm not going to prison. Let it go. It's so insane. And they're all like jerking about it. I'm just telling you, like, it's not like that. It's not going to be like that. I'm not saying I'm in no trouble. I'm a bad boy. I do bad things.
But I don't think anyone here cares if Nick goes to prison. Like, it doesn't matter.
Right.
No, and Nick seems to think he's not. Nick said, "I'm almost certainly not going to prison." Is that an Aaron spin? He's got a plea deal, you think?
Yeah, he's going to have a plea deal. He talked about it on this show.
Yeah, he said it's not that great, but we're working on it when he called into this show. Right. So it sounds like he's going to get a plea deal. Who knows?
Anything with no prison, I imagine he'll be on testing or monitoring.
2 years probation with testing. He can't drink, can't do drugs, all that kind of stuff. Maybe some welfare checks, whatever. It'll be fine.
Who knows? Maybe they throw the entire book at him. Who knows?
Maybe they lose the whole case and he gets to go free.
I was going
to
say, Moody, you don't understand how the U.S. works. Nothing ever goes to trial in the United States anymore. Like, everything is just a plea deal.
Well, these kinds of things, because it is a deal. It is a compromise. Neither side wants to fucking lose. And neither side wants to spend money and resources on it. So, like, yeah. Yeah, I agree. CDZ 9000 says, Moody, do a stream about building the AI, Aaron. Jesus Christ. We're not giving away the secret sauce.
It'd be so boring. It'd just proprietary. Be adding Aaron facts.
Aaron, did you beat your wife? Fuck, I don't know. Again, we're going to have to check with violence, sexuality, and maybe substance.
Maybe ask about the accusations.
I will say, no one's favorite quote from Goodfellas is, from as long as I can remember, I've wanted to be a gangster. Like, that's definitely not the main quote.
Are we doing This Little Piggy on Black Friday?
I don't know. I'm going to be I'll be in my WATP studio south on Black Friday. So we'll have to talk about that.
You'd call it anything but Cape Coral since you found out John's down there. He's just trying to relabel it. I'll be in Southwest Florida. I'll be in the Cape. You just start calling the things it's not. So maybe we'll do that on Black Friday. But I wanted to bring that up because we found out this week that there's another anniversary that we've never heard about. Next week on Friday, it's the 4th year anniversary of. It's confusing because it comes after the 10th year anniversary, but this is the 4th year anniversary of the streaming
version,
aka 4 years since Aaron got fired.
Right. Yeah.
And this is kind of what's given him panic and anxiety. He said, like, he wakes up, he thinks about where we've come from, where we're going, how he literally is like saying the words, like, everyone's left me.
Yeah.
Like, he's
Moody,
like,
if you wanted to make a chart, you could do this. Pretty easy to graph this one.
But that's why I think things might be way worse than he lets on. Not only because we have no idea what the component of fake donations is, but, you know, if you get rid of April, and let's not pretend like April had a job and was bringing in any income. April was only a drain on that household. Period. Period.
She mowed the lawns. She did the roof. Like, he might be paying.
Sure. I mean, monetarily. Like, her leaving is a net positive for the household monetary resources.
She was the one cutting the lines. I mean, she had other roles there, obviously.
Aaron says, but she leaves, and Gino and Kiki get hired. Then they leave. Then Matt leaves. Mm-hmm. Where's the money? How is he still in peril? How is he still teetering on the edge of, like, maybe we won't be able to do this thing? How is that possible?
Okay. Do you know what costs more than Kiki, Gino, April, and Matt? Is your attorney. Lawyers are expensive.
I was going to say gas station food.
Nope, that's not more expensive.
Jerseys, no. Cigars.
All that is cheap shit.
Subscriptions.
Post Malone tickets. This week he said he's going to the Post Malone concert with his daughter.
As long as they play the old stuff.
As long as they play the new stuff.
Oh, is that what he wanted? The new stuff?
Yeah, he wants the country. He doesn't want any old Post Malone.
I don't know if he knows this, but there's a site called setlist.fm, and you can find out exactly what he's playing on this tour to see if you want to see that or not.
But also, like, have you ever seen bands? They're playing the new stuff.
Well, it depends.
I mean, for the most part, if they're on an album tour, they're playing the new stuff, like off the new album. It's what everyone gets mad about everywhere on the internet. But he doesn't want the old stuff. He doesn't like Post Malone rapping and stuff. Pest says, I want to buy the damn body cam footage. From what I understand, this body cam footage of the Rakedas won't come out.
But I should have asked him about that. That was one of the things I thought about that I regretted not asking him about.
I think somebody did. He said it won't come out.
He worked out a deal so that it won't come out, I think.
Right.
I think April's got access to it, doesn't she?
What? Why would she have access to it?
She's like, it was released to her when they're doing her hand like as evidence, but she can release if she wants.
Could she put that on eBay or something? Jesus Christ, she'd make a lot of money from that.
Right.
What is she waiting for?
Is she allowed to release it? Would that be
solid?
It's up to her. Yeah. If she wants to release it, she can. I think people have asked her to.
Maybe the Onion will buy it.
I don't think that's going anywhere. Look, it's I think Nick is keeping, like, Nick, it's in Nick's best interest to keep April as onside as he possibly can. Because the smart move for April, if she wants to guarantee her freedom, is to just turn on both the Rakedas. Say, I was never involved. I'll give you all the evidence in exchange to leave. Right?
Nick has to only be being nice to April and keeping April close so she doesn't turn, right?
Right.
Like, look, right? Everyone who says I'm a friend of Nick, you don't really like this bitch, right? I need to know. Like, come on. You can't really think she's a stable.
He said her pussy doesn't smell. Maybe she's fun to be with.
I'm not saying her pussy smells, and I'm not saying she's an unredeemable person. I'm just saying these tweets. I mean, this chick is batshit crazy talking about his Polish sausage. She wants to come let him smash in the back door. I mean, look, I don't know if he's trying to get his family together. I don't know if he's getting a divorce. There's all these rumors about all this kind of stuff. But if you're not,
look, if like
Kayla again, if you're getting divorced, you're going on a pussy tour. I've got a girl in the other house waiting to move her in to take Kayla's place.
If Kayla starts to have a problem with April, they can't push her away because as soon as they do that, April turns. So
that's like, what I'm saying. Weird, so they have to
it's
like
such a weird situation where they can't risk anything happening. Well,
they've told April that like, look, you know, this for optics, you have to stay over at this other house until all these cases get closed and then we can be together. Cause she acts like it's temporary. She acts like I'm waiting for my love. Right. We're patient, loving people who are smart enough to know what's good for the fam. Like,
and Nick just like gives her the token gesture every so often. Like, yes, we're still interested.
She keeps saying things like, I hope I get the chance one day. Or what do you say? I'm pretending like I'm okay without you, Nick. Like, she wants it, but you're not seeing that from Nick. Like, one day, my love.
Mm-hmm. Nick just has to keep her warm.
The question is she going to be Nick Rakedas' kid's forever mommy? That's what we want to know.
Go propose to her with this little with this little pouch. Oh, wait, that's the wrong pouch.
I don't think you're going to see any changes in relationship status in the Rakedas until after the case happens.
Of course.
That's when you see.
I'm just saying, like, if they're fighting to keep their family together at all, then, like, you got to, the minute this is all done, they got to cut April loose, right? She's going to go like a kite in the wind. Like, just. So she doesn't see that?
I think she might be genuinely in love with Nick.
Oh, I think that's true. But I think she's dick drunk.
She's in love with him and she sees what he's got, like the money and stuff, and she's attracted to that. I think. Like, I don't know her, but
he goes over every once in a while and takes the temperature.
The funny thing is that Nick actually has more haters than her ex-husband. She actually found a guy who is more hated across the internet than Aaron.
Yeah, that's true.
Doesn't need to beg for the goal every week, every day.
Right.
She escaped the goal. And this guy also doesn't smother her. Like, I think that goes above how many haters someone has online. Like, she's
a middle ground.
Abused.
There's a middle ground, right, where he does actually care about her and stuff, but still doesn't want to be with her and is just helping her get back on her feet and have a place to stay. But it's hard when there's a motive. When there's the motive of the
Yeah, absolutely. Like, she's living the best life she can. But like for her, the best thing she can do for her own sake is to just remove herself from that situation.
Find a guy who is still allowed to do coke. That's what she should be doing right now. She should be hanging out and partying somewhere.
Does it? I don't know how the law works, clearly. That's why I'm in so deep. But if, is it a zero sum game? Do those cases work in tandem where, okay, someone here has to take credit for that coke? Or can they both prove that it wasn't their coke? Or beyond a reasonable doubt?
You don't need to prove that it's someone else's. You just need to throw it down on whether it's yours. Yeah.
So, like, they could all get off if given the right defenses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, the law is weird.
But they also can't say things that incriminate the other person, because that then...
Then they could be called to testify. Yeah. Or it could be used as evidence.
So it's like a Mexican standoff, right?
Well, yeah, because it was always like in the, like you'd see like in like old like court dramas, like Matlock or something like that, where they'd be like, they always get the guy off by proving who did it, who really did it.
Right.
That's like how they would get the guy off.
That's what OJ was going to do, yeah.
And then the bailiff would like turn around and handcuff the other guy. And it's like, well, that's not how it works. That guy gets his own trial. That's
the guy stands up. He's like in the courtroom. He's like, what? Oh!
Yeah,
why is he there?
I never understood that.
That's funny.
So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it all shakes out. And I still think it'll be months. I know Aaron has his felony revenge porn thing on December 11th.
Yeah, and Nick's thing is on the 25th. So,
it's Monday, right.
He's got a settlement conference, after which he needs to put a plea in. So this is like his last chance to get a deal.
Well, you can always cut it. You can cut a deal on the morning before the trial.
That's true.
Right?
But Nick's not going to wait till the last minute. He's going to figure this out on Monday, I bet.
Because that starts to piss off the court. Like, they're starting to spend money on it, putting in resources. He's not going to get as good of a deal as he can now before they
unless there's some evidence that we don't know about that's coming or something like that.
I am surprised the show is still on. Patrick has to get going.
Oh, fuck.
So they can prop him up. As a barrier for the F1 race.
I never leave my house. I'm just watching it from here. Eddie Quayle, the Aaron AI will work much better if you use a stationary picture with Clutch Cargo lip stocking.
Write that down.
Well, look, that whole presentation interface was like whipped up. That's not the way it's probably going to look. You just wanted to have something.
There's one thing that he's done. He donated something to the veterans. There was like a Stoney's gift card. Someone donated for a Stoney's gift card.
Oh yes, there were two of them. That
he kept
episode.
It aside for the
veterans. Eat pizza and beer too.
And he's like, okay, if any veterans are around, just send me an email. No one veteran is going to send him an email. And then he found two
more
Stoney's
at the end. Gift cards. That was hilarious.
Later in that same show. I mean, this is. Also, it's a consistent pattern. He's done this many, many years ago. He did a GoFundMe and raised over $2,000 for veterans.
And Disabled veterans of Minnesota or something.
He showed no proof of making any sort of donation.
Not only that, somebody in our Discord reached out to them and asked, was there ever a donation made that year by Aaron M. Holt, April M. Holt, or Steel Toe Morning Show? And they were like, we have no record, would it be under anything else? And no, but it's like, who takes fundraising money and doesn't show that you've given it to the
right?
Like, who does that?
Yeah,
like it's almost as bad as Godfrey's special that he's trying to GoFundMe $200,000 for. People have sent him $37,000. That's how GoFundMe works, right? You get the money, regardless. It's not like Kickstarter. You get the money. So like. Do you think Godfrey's got $37,000 in an account somewhere he's saving up for his special? Or is Godfrey living on your trickle-in donations for his shitty special?
Where is his GoFundMe right now? Have you checked it a little while?
It's still at $37,000.
So it's just stagnant. That's as much as he's going to get. Okay.
I mean, he gets $5 and $10 every week. It's like, but it's like, if that goes through, I think that's how GoFundMe works. You get it. Like,
yeah.
But then
you're retarded if you think this man has $37,000 put up to film his special one day, because he's never hitting 200. So you've just wasted your money. Like, it really is sad what some of these people do.
Pest in the chat is saying doing a fundraiser but not giving them the money, isn't that illegal? Yes. But also, it's like there's a lot of illegal things that happen that no one gets investigated or prosecuted for.
Like
that,
prize night.
Right. Prize night is illegal.
Like people would be like, oh, Aaron really stuck at you. It's like, no, I just said it was illegal what he's doing. Like, it is still illegal. It doesn't.
Aaron streams copyrighted movies on Rumble.
Rumble.
Right. It's
because he thinks his understanding of copyright law is that it's a YouTube thing.
Right. Yeah.
He really does go like, dude, and then he negates himself because he'll go like, dude, Rumble lets me play anything. There's no copyright rules. And then he goes, and by the way, and who cares? I take it down right afterwards. It's like, well, why? If there's
right,
why do you take it down right afterwards if you're allowed to do it? I don't know.
Think of it as like the GTA star level. The further that's along, the more resources that they're going to put in.
Right.
But when it's
right
at the bottom, it's like, you can easily.
Chris Bueller, thank you for becoming a YouTube member. Appreciate you there. Any other things on you guys' list to discuss besides the big fourth anniversary show?
He's been comparing himself to Trump a lot recently. He sees himself
and
as
Stern.
Trump. Yeah. It's yeah like
he's
when just, Trump
he's
does
winning. Well, yeah. Trump's winning.
Yeah. And therefore
Trump
he's
like is the biggest narcissist on the planet. And look at I'm right excited for his presidency. I think it's gonna be a lot of fun. But you have to realize he's a narcissist. I would 100%. Never want to compare myself to that man.
Well, he sees all the people seething about Trump and he's like, that's like it is with me.
Oh, right, yeah.
That's he's like it heel is with me. Because he said on Thursday morning he fired up his show. He's like, guys, I didn't want to just cover the left seething again, but really they give me no choice. It's like everyone moved on from this last week after the right election. Aaron's still watching clips of The View.
Yeah.
And Sunny and Joy and Whoopi, you know, all the fun names. So like, yeah, he's still watching all these, like, guys, I wish I didn't have to cover this, but this is the news. And it's like, what is the show? One minute you're like making Johnny cry. The next minute you're like trying to mix it up with Lou and Joey C. The next minute you're a serious political commentator on The View. The next minute you're just reveling in Nazi memorabilia. I don't know what this show
is. It all goes back to what you guys said after April left the show. He should have rebranded, regrouped, started over again because Steel Toe had a negative connotation. It's just like, just do something new and figure it out. And he still has not figured out what his show is.
There's something with like morning shows stereotypically are incredibly gimmicky shows with lots of segments that are bite-sized that people can tune in and out of really, really quickly. It's very segmented. He does none of that. His entire show is a stream of consciousness with none of that morning showness to it.
That would make him more professional. You're right.
Right.
When he talks about he's the pro show, you're like, okay, what are the recurring segments that you do? Right. And what are the bits people enjoy?
And yes.
None of that.
One of my favorite things this week was he, at some point, I couldn't find the clip and it wouldn't matter because I can't play it anyway, but he had something where he's like, there is no correlation, zero correlation between a good show and making money. Right. And he said, not in any universe, never, ever, ever. There's not one study. There's not one. He said this. Like, I don't know if you guys remember this, but I covered it on my show.
I heard
it. 100% said this. There's no correlation between doing a good show and how much money you make. Some days you hit it, some days you don't. Then, if you remember the great 5-minute begging segment he had from this week,
we did a good show. I thought we did a pretty good show. I guess we didn't.
I guess we didn't do a good show. I guess we missed the mark. I thought
we was pretty good.
I thought we like what? It, like you? I don't. I like to say you like whatever you want. Give money to whoever you want. Because really, like I can't control it. And every you know, different strokes for different folks. Really, like everyone enjoys something different. Really, there are thousands of people who sit there and watch those cameras of street intersections or high card. Right. Or birds and nests
or
and
Kino
like
casino, kind of right? Everyone's
there's
weird.
Something right. There's something for everybody. But you like if you give him money and support him in earnest, you are retarded.
Yeah,
because like he's laughing at you. He's lying to you at every turn. There's no point where this guy doesn't contradict himself. I mean, just on a daily basis, like it's. There's no correlation between a good show. But why do you beat yourself the fuck up then when you don't make 13-10?
He's also not thinking about anyone who donates. It's like he reads it, moves on immediately. Like the focus is on how much more money is left.
Because it's almost like a co-host. He's not actually listening to it. There's so much you could get out of those comments and prompts. And he doesn't do anything with them because he's not even reading. He got one the other day about Melton. He said, like, Melton was right. He said you'd start staying on longer and you're doing these five-hour shows to hit the goal. He flashed it. The guy's so insecure, and he does these things that just give it away all the time. He flashed it up because he had to show it. Even though he doesn't. He doesn't show super tips all the time.
He didn't used to, yeah.
He flashed it up. Yeah, well, I'd be worried about other. If I was Melton, I'd be worried about other stuff. It's like, what a little insecure bitch. What a little baby. It blows my mind, like, how insecure he is about stuff. Like you said, it's pure projection. Like, everyone else is seething nonstop and writing fanfiction.
You can't do a show that talks about your haters as often as he does without admitting that your show's not very good. It's bizarre to me. I don't understand. I don't know what, in his mind, he's trying to accomplish with that. Like, I know he wants the drama. He wants the hate watching. He wants you to talk about him. It does keep him relevant and interesting. But he also hates it. It drives him crazy, and he loses sleep, and he has panic attacks over it. So it's like, he doesn't know what he's trying to do.
Yeah, he is a lost boy, just like circling a drain, trying to hold on. Again, every week he's coming up with new rules and new little things to try to reinvigorate the show or get the goal going again, the rally.
And he's not going to really own the haters or make the haters go away in any real meaningful way by doing that, because the haters are watching because they're seeing the cracks in the persona. So the more personas he keeps putting on and talking about his life, the more captivating it becomes.
Right.
So it's like you're appealing to the worst people for your show when you're doing that sort of thing. Like, focus on it being a morning show rather than this Ouroboros of haters.
Crew John's Melton, I want my $2. I want my $2. Thank you, Crew John's. Cuckoo for coconuts. Enjoy non-wheelchair prison, Melton. What does that mean?
Well, I think he's referring to, I could be wrong, this is my stupid world that I live in, but Quadfather turned on Stuttering John, and John goes, well, you'll have to live in a wheelchair prison the rest of your life. That was his big comeback.
It's a wheelchair prison.
So you're non-wheelchair prison. You'll actually be a prison.
Got it.
I don't know. This myth
that good shows lead to money, that's just not true. There's no correlation of that whatsoever. Not in a million effing years. I know my haters don't make any money. Neither does any other podcast.
Right. Perfect.
And then
speaking of which, whoarethese.com is where you want to go for all things. Who are these podcasts?
I wasn't ready yet.
Who are these socials?
Go ahead. Plug it, Carl.
Who are these podcasters?
No, go ahead. Sorry.
No, whoarethese.com. We do a semi-weekly podcast. Someone correct me on this. Who Are These Podcasts comes out every Thursday and Sunday for a free audio podcast. Wherever you listen to podcasts, just subscribe and it'll show up for you.
Aaron desperately, thanks Eddie Valentino. Aaron desperately wants to be like Kumia. I think you mean like Kumia, not Luke Kumia, because it's not a person. But he's too sensitive to accomplish that. He thinks he's ahead of Kumia now. He's like, dude, Kumia was the past of radio. Like, I'm still in the mix.
Right.
Like, I still am going back to radio. His entire being, his entire existence and personality is radio. Just when he openly typed in 1017 on his phone and I saw that was his password, oh my God.
Like, glory days.
Imagine how nuts he drove April.
I'll pass you by, glory days.
Their whole marriage was him, like, and when we get back on radio. And even Ricada said that, like, he would always, like, they'd be at a casinos. Like, dude, I just got an email from
in. You'd be looking around, and you'd be like, all right, I don't know if I can say this out loud, but I think we're going to get this job. It's like, no one knows who you are.
And I'd love to talk to Ox, the DJ they have on now. Yeah. Like, hey, you know, do you get any say in your replacement? Or do you have any intention of stepping down anytime soon or anything? Because, like, Aaron's been dreaming about this for years. But, like, they're not going to kick this guy out, it seems like. He's doing well. And no matter what Aaron wants to pretend like, that he was number one in the market, they've already looked. They know better.
Yeah.
They know what your numbers were. Like, these things are recorded, Eric.
But he's also like toxic.
When he says his numbers are high and he has more viewers than ever. These are public, Aaron, sweetie.
But it's also
he
toxic.
Number one spot. Like, that's insane that he would lie about him being
Nielsen
the
ratings.
One.
As if they're not, you can't look up Nielsen ratings.
I will defend him on this point because every media show, you know, whether it's TV or radio, they'll zoom in on the demographics they pretend are important for their advertisers. So it's possible he was 18 to 49 males and he was number one in that.
No, I had it all broken out. He wasn't number one anywhere.
Oh, he wasn't. Okay. No. Never mind then. But he won't get a job back on radio because he's so toxic. He was fired from his last radio job for things that he was saying on the radio. And since then, he's been kicked off of Twitch. And he's had all of these issues with all of these different people and leaving the show and lawsuits.
Revenge
and
porn, felony charges.
Yes, felony charges. Like, literally, no one would hire this guy.
Every single bad thing that's happening to Aaron has been a direct result of him abusing a woman in some capacity.
And are they're not going to want an air check? Like, could he cobble together an air check from his show? Could he cobble together something that sounds like a 5-minute demo of what his show would be like? Hey, here's Aaron in the morning. Like, what some of the classic segments, some of the funny bits, some of the great calls. Like, what would
maybe
his,
when he calls
the show?
He calls the women on The View cunts. Maybe that would be
what would the show be? And he thinks he can. You think he can turn that off? You can't. You can't turn that cursing off. That Nazi brain, that blackface vibe. Well,
it's funny you say that. So my other buddy, Opie, from Opie and Anthony, he's been doing this thing where he doesn't swear anymore on his show. And if people bring up sensitive topics who come on, he stops from talking about them because he's literally trying to get back on the radio. And you can tell he's doing it. He's making a concerted effort to just be like, hey, look, I'm still a radio guy. Aaron's doing none of that.
Yeah. No, he's not. Other than when he comes on and tries to be like, he'll try to be news radio one day, and then the next day he'll try to be like a sports station. You can tell he's like trying it.
Yeah.
And it's weird because he'll start just like reading stats off like a football page. This will be like his members only show on Sunday. For like 30 minutes, he'll just like read stats.
I've never seen a worse use of a whiteboard behind someone in my life. Right. This thing gets updated once a week, and the numbers change by one. You're like, okay, now they're 7-2. Now they're 8-2.
And then he's like, oh no, I forgot to update the board. And then he stands up and has to update it right away. And then after he's done, he's like, huh? Yeah, I updated the board. And we're like, what or what?
Yeah, he brings in, but it comes back to the stream of consciousness thing. It's not a sports show, but sometimes he talks for like 20 minutes plus about the Vikings.
He doesn't know what to do. So, like, he doesn't know
what he needs to do.
Is
do a sports segment, make it 7 minutes long or however long like that thing is, and just keep it morning show style. I mean, morning shows have a format.
It's so sad that like I think Chad shows are more focused. Like Chad's more focused on what he's trying to do. Because I mean, Chad doesn't do 4 hours, but Chad's like in and out in an hour. I wanted to play this clip of Chrissy Mayer, and then he's like, duh, read some free chats, and he's out. Like, Aaron's just like, Aaron doesn't know what to do. Every day, it's just like, we have a great show for you, and then he'll say something like, I've caught this a couple times, we're going to go read some of the, I want to pick two or three of the chats here to read, and then I'll just be like, what's up, dildos? Okay,
The only thing Aaron's trying to...
Sir Franklin in the chat just said the whiteboard is a metaphor for his life, which is fantastic. Because he doesn't know what to do with that whiteboard. The purpose of it is constantly changing. Any effort he has to change anything on it is messy. His handwriting sucks. It's illegible and doesn't come across to the audience the way that he thinks it is.
And it's less and less about his show.
The most telling thing about it is that at the very top of it, it says Steel Toe, and that was written by April months ago before she left. The very top thing that you see is something that April left behind that he refuses to wipe off.
Everything left of the old show was April.
April is on top of his mind the whole time. She rules everything he's thinking about.
The music, it's all April.
But think about this. When Aaron starts his show at 6 a.m. every day, the only thing he's concerned about is going 4.5 hours. It's not anything else. I have to go 4.5 hours.
Until
he gets
the money.
Well, that's true. Right.
If you get money at 2.5 hours, you feel him run out of gas. He's like,
I can't wait.
What else should we do, guys? I start talking about his day, his weekend. I can't wait for this. It's almost like the minute he has the money, he starts spending it in his mind.
Yeah.
It's almost like the minute he has it, he's like, oh, I'm gonna get the loaded hash browns this morning at the. It's like okay.
It's like when your boss has a meeting on Friday afternoon, and you're like, oh, cool, we're just gonna fuck off. Awesome. Come over to my office. We'll shoot the shit. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, when I had a small company, we would go out like on Fridays and like drink at lunch and stuff. And the understanding was, none of us are going to get anything done for the rest of the afternoon.
Over. Yeah,
and like that's fine. But we'll watch
our email and make sure that we.
The sad thing is, he raises the money for this bonus content, and then the minute he has the money, fuck your bonus content.
Right?
It's like he raised money to watch movies he hasn't watched. He raised money. The guy paid an extra $100 to pick the movie. And then he didn't watch it. Like there's just time after time, example after example of him collecting stuff. And then once he has the money, fuck your thing. The same way with the anniversary show, he sold that on. There were going to be all these stand-ups there. Then it was going to be this, anniversary meetup of all the old
the roast. Hosts.
None of that manifested itself. It turned into an inward slur session, and it just like deal with it. I already have your money. Like, I had a good time. I heard the people who won skee ball didn't get paid. He was supposed to pay them $150 or something. Like, it's just like, is any of it real?
He keeps saying that once he's got the money, he doesn't need to think about it anymore. But then he loses all motivation to continue on with the show. The energy is sapped.
He doesn't like doing his show. He hates it.
Yeah.
Right. The money is the only... Chase of the money is the only thing that gives him, and I feel like he might be like that with women too. It's like now he's got slampies, he's just starting to get fat and retarded.
Yep.
My neighbor came over asking for sugar. He specifically asked for brown sugar. My Jew neighbor also asked to borrow the lawnmower. He said it was a good ride.
All right, I think we're done. Any other plugs you want to do, Carl? You got anything coming up?
I don't know.
Besides whoarethese.com. You got any events? You got any?
No. Whoarethese.com.
What? Why are you laughing at that?
I got nothing.
None of us do. I'm not doing a show tonight, probably, but I'll do a members show at some point this weekend. Moody, 3D print, anything interesting lately?
Not yet, but I just want to apologize for the AI segment. I will work on patching out AI Aaron pooping his pants.
Oh, there were some highlights. I don't know if that was good.
I wanted to share some stuff from not only the Steel Toe Boring Show Reddit, but before we go, these are just some great little things going around. People are starting to create these memes diagrams that... I'll handle the segment, Moody. Oh, okay. Anyway, this is from Bird, which is Bald Eagle. On Reddit, I thought this was great. It kind of explains Aaron's like mental circle, and I love this picture. But if it's not happening, you're mentally ill. Okay, it might have happened. Okay, it did happen, but that's the past. I don't want to talk about it. And then right back to it's not happening. So I thought that was a great one. This one was really good. Shalong Thong Pa. Wow. The Mubi food pyramid. The whole base is made up of ricotta seed. And then we have gas station garbage and energy drinks forming the second bottom. SpaghettiOs and girly drinks. It's like mimosa bar. He loves his spicy... what does he drink?
Bloody Marys.
Yeah. And then, of course, dog treats for sodium. Just right up.
It's just treats.
It's great.
So, Geelong Thongpa on the Steel Toe Boring Show Reddit. Check out the Reddit. But this is last night, Doug Nielsen, I guess, on the Pat Dixon show. This comic. So, the first panel is April's in sexy lingerie, Aaron's in a robe and nothing else in the kitchen, I guess at the Ricada's house. April walks in, oh, hey, what are you doing, Toe? Just cleaning the dishes after another feast of SpaghettiOs. How about a kiss? Well, I haven't washed my mouthwash yet, and Nick... yeah. Damn it, April. You know better than that. We are married, damn it. We should share everything. And then he kisses her. And then Ricada walks in and says, hey, Toe, tell me how my dick tastes. So people are speculating this might be how the cum eating happened. Is that...
are that some people are speculating?
I think he ate it out of her puss.
Yeah.
But we, I mean,
he could have licked it off a titty. We don't know.
Doug, if you want to collaborate on a calendar for 2025, we could really, we do a comic every month. You know, I think we celebrate the 12 months of Toe. Could be good. Amy Elizabeth says, do you think April's pineapple, do you think he kept April's pineapple bathroom?
Yes. Yes. Remember, Kiki mentioned that the bathroom, the guest bathroom, was nicely decorated like a woman would decorate it. There's no way he's touched it.
Jizzberries taste like jizzberry.
Don't sell me short, the you seething bunch. I still have super chat display most of the time. Works great, too, towards my goal salary. Only have to make up Streamlabs, PayPal, Venmo. Now for the win.
Now for the win. All right, I think that's it. I think we're caught up. I think we've exhausted all the week's news. Any other stuff? Anybody else got any stuff?
You just keep trying to stretch this thing out.
No, I need to get to F1.
I know. Let's get the fuck out of here.
I don't want to be rude. I don't want to be the one to be like, get out of my house.
I said I was done a half an hour ago.
Get out of my fucking house. Yeah, but we just haven't hit the goal. I'm trying to stretch for money.
I can tell, yes.
We need more. I've got these F1 tickets are very expensive. All right, we're getting out of here. Thank you to Moody. Thank you to Carl. Next week, Black Friday, 4-year anniversary of the Steel Toe Morning Show Internet 2.
There's a show in town, it's going down. Every week we're back on solid ground. Steel toe slipping, but we're gripping. Got the tea to spill, it's always flipping. From April's scrimp to Aaron's glee. Oh, this drama's just a spree. Polydrama, legal trauma. Another win, oh, that's the karma. This little piggy went to YouTube. This little piggy's on Rumble now. This little piggy begging for dollars. And this little piggy. Show. Revenge porn to felony. It's a circus, can't you see? The toe is bent, the goal is spent. His empire crumbles, all hell sent. April's playlist on repeat. Aaron's lies we can't defeat. The countdown's on, it won't take long to see this piggy squeal his song. This little piggy went to YouTube. This little piggy's on Rumble. Little piggy ain't missing a thing. Just sit back, laugh, and watch the king.